Film Vault.
Here it is.
Yeah, Film Vault. Welcome
here it is.
Once again to the Film Vault. Thank you for joining us. I'm Brian Bishop with Anderson. We're your hosts today on the Film Vault. Top 5 worst movie-going experiences. Worst experiences, seen a movie, stories, personal stories.
It's going to be a fun, spirited episode.
It's going to be. I'm excited. Anderson is prone. You're prone to anger.
Prone
so
to anger.
I'm excited to hear what are your 5 worst movie-going experiences.
A lot of misgivings in my life. Daily. Also, we should mention we are going to have a special guest, my buddy and your acquaintance, Mr. Psycho Mike Catherwood.
That was my next thing was, we have a guest? Question mark.
I just did it.
We have a guest? Question mark.
Well, I disinvited him last night.
I invited him a week ago.
He was talking some shit.
What was he talking?
He was saying that he was bitching because he and I were actually in a meeting earlier today. This is all nonsense and no one cares about. But
no, it's groundwork.
He and I were
it's prelude to what's going to happen next.
With a number of big wigs earlier today.
Big
both
wigs.
Of us sitting there and discussing his schedule yesterday. He was talking to someone else. I just happened to be in the room saying that he has this and he has that and he has a big meeting and then he has to do some shitty podcast about movies. With a bald dick and an arrogant fuck. And I said, hey,
I'm not arrogant.
Talking about me. I said, it's cool, buddy. You don't have to come. But we'll bust his balls.
He was obviously joking. He knew.
But we'll bust his balls about that a little
bit. Yeah, ball busting.
I've got some decent, 5 solid stories. We did something very similar to this in your absence, Brian, when it was Mr. Carano sitting in your seat over there.
That must have been fun.
Years ago. It was a very solid episode. People enjoyed it. People enjoyed it quite a bit. But some of those are going to be repeated, a couple new ones. However, I don't think either one of us is going to be able to compete with Mr. Psycho Mike Catherwood.
What is that?
He's
lived a life.
He's lived a life. He's got a lot of stories, and he knows how to radio embellish, I'll say. Let's just say that. Let's just leave it at that.
There will be no embellishment with mine. Mine will not be embellished.
If he goes back and he listens to this episode, which he very well might, then he will hear this part, and he can pick up on with me later. But I'm going to say that right now, and a little radio embellishment in his stories.
Good. It's theater of the mind.
If anything, I under-embellish because I'm embarrassed about some of my stories. And most of my stories actually have me being the prime center fuckhead. Yeah. We should also mention that we are flying Loganless at the moment.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Isn't it great?
It's free. I don't have those half Asian eyes judging.
I know.
Peering in.
More
judging.
Oval than anything.
Well, they're always a little
almond.
Bit. I don't want to get too racist here, but they always look like they're squinting towards me like in disapproval.
You know, I get that a lot.
It's not his fault. It's the half Asian thing, but it looks like he's peering at me more than most people would. You know,
I agree with that.
A lot of peering.
A lot of judging in those eyes.
A lot of judging. And the worst part is when he's just not paying attention at all, which is
often.
So let's get to this. Flick fashion. I got something new I'm going to try out this week.
Okay.
Brian, tell me if you hate it. Tell me if you think it's okay.
All right. I'll be the judge. Mm-hmm. I did not assign you a film last week. I gave you the week off because
I was scrambling
to find films you hadn't seen.
I've been terrible at this whole gambling thing we've been doing for the last few weeks now. I think I'm 0-5.
You're on a 0-4 or 0-5 streak.
Yeah.
Well, pending this week.
I started off strong, won the first 3 or 4, and then I've lost the last 5.
Then you won 3.
And the only thing worse than me playing this game is you picking movies for me to watch.
I know.
You're proving to suck at that, which is one of the easiest things to do.
But now I'm taking it more seriously.
Now's
where I start losing, by the way, because I'm taking it more seriously.
I was thinking
I've jinxed myself.
If you're a real fuckhead, I was listening to a show this morning. They were talking about Crocodile Dundee 3, which I didn't even know existed.
No,
If you wanted to really fuck with me, though, you could like assign me that because I'm so OCD. I would have to go back. I've seen the first one.
Sure.
Never saw the second one, but it's been so long since I've seen the first one. I'd have to watch the first two.
Yeah, because you can't get the third without seeing the first
two. So in essence, you would be requiring me to watch 3 terrible movies.
That's
true. The first one's decent.
But I, aside from Southland Tales, I would never intentionally make you watch bad movies.
And The Box.
I didn't know The Box was bad. Muffins is great, by the way.
And what else did you have me watch? Something terrible. Oh, fucking Three Stooges.
That's great.
No.
You ended up liking it.
Ungreat.
You ended up liking it.
Ungreat. I liked parts of it. I didn't get physically ill.
I stick to my story. I'll never make you intentionally watch a bad movie aside from Southland Tales.
This will be interesting to see how this develops because I guarantee you will. Guarantee. Okay, so let's get to this.
Let's flick fest. We're going to confess the flicks we've seen in the past week. You want to go first and reveal your new bit, your new thing?
Sure.
This is great.
This is how it goes. Because I watch a lot of movies and a lot of the time, like this week, last week I saw 5 movies.
Mm.
I'm only flick festing 3 for the sake of time here. My buddy my now buddy Damien over at, I believe it's Triton Computing. I'll give a proper plug once my website's up and running. But he actually was kind enough to come forward, and he's a listener, and he said, I'll put together a website for you because I have a bunch of stuff, to, you know, my movies and little shorts and whatnot, a place to keep everything.
Sure.
Because I'm not on Facebook much.
Everything
Twitter,
Anderson,
so
everything Anderson related.
It seemed important to forego both Twitter and Facebook and have my own website.
Everything Anderson centric. Am I
sense,
louder
right?
than you, by the way?
You're fine.
Okay.
If that's the case, that's not acceptable. No, but you know,
it's not
for I think of people having websites, they have websites because they have something to sell, or because Facebook's just not enough for them.
I agree.
I'm never on Facebook, so it's kind of weird.
It's funny because people request to be friends with me on Facebook who
okay,
are fans.
I don't
care. No, but it's I feel
fans,
bad.
Listeners.
Well, they're listeners or their follower or their enthusiasts of podcasting.
Fanatic. I don't think anyone could possibly be a fanatic of Brian Bishop.
That's a great point. Anyhow, my point was casual fans. My point was my Facebook's all personal stuff. Like it's all like, you know, my wife and my friends and
my
stuff.
Wife.
So I don't have any friends on there I'm not actually personally friends with. It's a weird thing because I don't like to reject people, but it's just, you know, prefer not to put pictures of my family
story
up there.
Short. I'm just,
long story short, it's all about Twitter for me. I love Twitter.
Okay,
more
than
Mary on Twitter. I enjoy interacting on Twitter.
Pretentious sniffer at Twitter.
That's right.
Yes. So what I'm going to be doing is every movie I see, I'm going to try and like put up a – not synopsis, just like a brief little like a three, maybe four. Pretty much the notes that I take for the
yes.
show anyways.
Reactions.
And so I'm going to start doing that and collecting a few before the launch. I should have a few up there. And then every time I see a movie, I will put the little poster of the movie up there. And I will put that – and hopefully after a while – actually, not hopefully. There will be quite a library of movies that I've seen.
You give out the website once it's launched?
And here's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be – yeah. It's AndersonCowan.com.
But it's yeah, but not launched yet.
So I'm going to go like instead of – 5 stars or whatnot. I'm going to go. I was thinking maybe yay, nay. Maybe way yay for really good.
Oh.
Way nay for way really
nay.
Bad. And eh.
for in the middle.
Number three, right?
Okay.
I'm going to start off with an eh, which is Everything Must Go. It's a new movie.
The Will Ferrell film.
About a year ago. It's starring Will Ferrell. And it is now instant watch if you want to watch it. It is an eh. So it's not that important that you watch it. Story is he comes home. He gets fired from his job by Glenn Howerton, by the way.
Yeah.
Dennis from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. My boy! Love that guy. Love him. Anyways, he gets fired by, you know, as the story goes, a younger guy for being drunk on the job. And Will Ferrell goes home to find that all of his stuff has been moved out in the front yard. Never explains why she didn't put it in the backyard or why he didn't move it to the backyard. There's a lot of holes in this story. Mm. But he proceeds to drink for the rest of the movie, which is 5 days long. He drinks Pabst Blue Ribbon! And
hipster beer.
Well, it has become that, yes.
Yes, it has.
But I don't think he was drinking it for irony's sake.
Okay.
He was a hardcore drinker. And he sits out front of his house, sits in Arizona, and he proceeds to get his life in order, or tries to. And a lot of things.
Does he sell everything he owns?
He eventually turns it into a yard sale, and a small black boy whose mom works in the neighborhood, of course, it's got to be, he can't live in the neighborhood. His mom has to be taken care of, a rich white woman in the neighborhood, even though it's just a suburb.
Oh, that makes sense.
Long story short, the movie is very. Okay, not very dramatic at times. If you're a Will Ferrell comedy fan, you're not going to find what you're looking for, which is one of the reasons why on Rotten Tomatoes it has a fairly high, like a 75 critic score and like a
right.
51 user score, because people who watch Will Ferrell movies, they're looking for the Will Ferrell funny. I mean, I laughed a couple times,
sure.
But it was more depressing than it was funny by far. A lot of very heavy scenes. This was one step above a feature like student film. The guy that made it, I'm not going to say his name because I'm not talking that nicely about it, but this is his first effort and he has nothing on the horizon. I'm not saying it was a bad movie, but it was just fairly paint by numbers. And I would have rather have seen like a Punch Drunk Love type.
Ooh,
give it a little more personality. There wasn't much personality. Weren't any great characters really. His character was okay, but you didn't love him. So, for Everything Must Go. It is streaming now if you want to watch Little Will Ferrell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which, now, which I probably don't in that case.
We should also mention that there are cleaners here cleaning.
And, no one can hear that.
I just saw.
Yeah, there was another Asian man in there.
But I just saw him go into the studio and punch random buttons. So I can only hope that this is still rolling. So another movie, Brian. This is a yay. Yay.
No.
A yay.
Okay.
A yay. And it is Pirates. No, it's actually, to be appropriate, The Pirates. Because it's got an exclamation.
Right.
Band of Misfits.
There you go. So it was a claymation, Wallace and Gromit type stuff, right?
Right. Peter Lorre, first movie since Chicken Run.
Okay.
Which you
really?
Infuriated me with.
He hasn't made a movie since then?
Infuriated me with.
What's wrong with Chicken Run?
Well, because remember you had it in your
top five prison films.
Never forgive you for that.
It's
that
a prison
was back
film.
In the KLSX days.
I know. I was trying to be clever. I should have put Cool Hand Luke on there.
trying to be clever.
I was trying to be clever.
He has produced other movies such as like Flushed Away, but this is the first one that he was actually he actually produced. Very good at times, very eh at other times. I get the feeling there was some – actually, I had read that there were some studio issues with this. It was on the shelf for a while. Rare that I see a trailer. I didn't trust the trailer. Now, if I was just going off the trailer of this movie, I would never have fucking seen it. I don't know if you've seen the trailer, but it looks
it doesn't look good. I've seen the trailer. I saw it before Three Stooges.
Yes,
it didn't look good.
I saw it before a few movies now. And like, what I hate is when they do cutesy little cartoons from like the past and they try and bring the presence into it. Like there's a scene where he's backing his pirate ship.
Set in on olden times. Yeah.
Beep. Like it's hilarious because that's what big trucks do in the real world.
That's right.
You know, and his pirate ship's doing it. I get that.
It's kind of funny.
No, it was unfunny. You know what? They put it in for the trailer. Not in the real movie.
Oh.
That sound effect is not in the real movie. I was pleased to see that. Not a whole lot of scatological humor, which I was pleased to see because I'm not a big scat fan.
Right.
Can you take your kids to see this? Will they enjoy it? And will you enjoy it? Yeah, I think so. Pretty much it's about a pirate. Here's an hour after seeing it, I was explaining it to someone and I was saying that they're all rats dressed as pirates.
Are they?
No,
they're people.
Yeah, they're people.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of effect that it had on
them. Oh, okay.
Like, you know, like 3 hours later, I can't remember if I was watching humans claymation or rat claymation.
Sure.
But it's a band of misfits who are pirates, but they're actually fairly nice pirates, so they don't and they really want to win Pirate of the Year. I remember laughing out loud like two or three times, but I think I did the same thing at Three Goddamn Stooges.
Yeah, you did.
So I would not suggest you run out and spend your hard-earned money on this unless you got kids. It's decent for both. Finally, to put this flick fashion to rest from my side anyways.
Put it to bed.
Here's a little movie that is a very, very solid classic movie. It's
The Yay Yay?
It is a – not a Way Yay.
Okay.
Way Yay.
I thought it was a Yay Yay.
It's just a yay.
Okay.
All right. And I know a lot of you are going to give me shit about my my new skew. On
Why
the,
would they do that?
Because people like to give shit.
Oh, okay.
People can give shit and they like to. This movie – give me a second here while I pull up my notes.
Sure, sure. Acquire those notes.
Coincidentally, I just happened to watch it on the night that we have Mr. Catherwood coming in. He's the one who recommended it. Every now and again, he comes in. He's fairly adamant. And he's like, you must watch this movie.
Okay.
It is called Requiem for a Heavyweight, 1962.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I've heard of this.
Rod Sterling wrote the teleplay. Of course, you might know Rod Sterling. As I said Sterling. His name is Sterling. As the man who oftentimes was not a part of the Twilight Zone, but you'd see him smoking in the corner. You know what I mean? He'd be on the set smoking.
I thought Rod Sterling was Star Trek, or is that Gene Roddenberry?
Wow, you're not a very smart man when it comes to
not a very smart
man. No, really, you thought you didn't think Rod Sterling was he is.
I get those names confused all the time. It's Sterling
Twilight
and Roddenberry.
He is Twilight. Like,
all right,
I
buddy.
See, when I see his face, it's like all I can see is like Twilight in one eye and Zone in the other eye.
All I think of is John Landis.
My mom just called me.
Oh, okay.
If the show was live, I would assume that she was listening. That'd be a terrible assumption.
That's right.
Anyways, back to Requiem for Heavyweight. 1962. Just a really, really solid classic movie. All black and white. The open had some really, really interesting POV shots from the boxer's point of view, who's getting smashed in the head, and it goes all blurry. And it was actually pretty innovative back there. I wouldn't be surprised if Marty Scorsese kind of borrowed some of the stuff that he saw in this to make Jesus Christ. The Brain.
Raging Bull.
Raging Bull. Thank you, Brian. You are not a smart man. Anthony Quinn plays Mountain Rivera, who is a character. He is the beaten up, has been washed up boxer. He's the kind of character that sticks with you. Like, I'll always remember Mountain Rivera. Once you see this movie, it's like an old friend. Like, you'll always remember him. Great performance by Anthony Quinn. I should have looked it up. I'm sure he was nominated for awards. Jackie Gleason played his trainer, who was always trying to figure out the right thing to do and rarely did the right thing. Rarely did the thing that he should have done in Anthony Quinn's best in Mountain Rivera's best interest. And Mickey Rooney was, of course, his trainer. And Julie Harris was the femme, not fatale, just the femme.
Just the femme.
Came in to try and help out old Mountain. But
not fatale.
yay movie. Very classic, very typical of that era. But there's a lot of bad movies from that era. This is one of the good ones. And you got to send away for it. If it was streaming, I'd say check it out, definitely, especially if you like the classics. Not really that worthy of sending away for, but I'm glad I saw it. And like I said, the best thing out of this movie is I will always remember his character. Real, real sympathetic character that you love in Mountain Rivera.
Cool.
Yeah.
There you go.
A little bit of everything there in that flick fest.
Well, you took a You took a suggestion from Mike Catherwood. I took a suggestion from you, my friend.
Yeah,
I'll save that for the end.
I told you you're a smart man. We're a smart man.
This is the first time. I saw a movie that was B-minus, C-plus.
Don't steal that. I have that trademark.
I will not.
Don't say eh.
I won't. I only give grades. B-minus, C-plus. That's a real steal from last year, 2011.
Oh, my God. Why would you do that?
It was okay. It wasn't
trailer,
bad.
Right? Yeah,
wasn't,
but
no, wasn't bad
film. The little kid kind of ruin it. Take the kid out. Is it in a good movie?
No, he's not the weak link.
Really?
The movie is directed by Sean Levy, who did Night of the Museum series and Date Night. And stars Hugh Jackman, Evangeline Lilly, Kevin Durant, the great Kevin Durant. I
Can
like
I just
him very
tell
much.
You that I love Evangeline Lilly. I
do you really?
Her. My lady, the one that, that for some reason is getting married to me.
Yep.
Looks a lot like her.
You think so?
I call her Freckles.
I guess she looks a little bit like her.
She's Kate from
Lost. Also from Lost, Kevin Durant. He played the mercenary, the big tough mercenary guy.
I know. I have a friend who dated him for a while.
He's he was great in that, and he's great in this. Nominated for Best Visual Effects Oscar this year. Not Kevin Durant, but the movie Real Steel.
Oh, he wasn't nominated for
so,
Best Visual
okay,
Effects.
So, it's an okay movie. It's kind of good.
How'd you see it? Where'd you see it?
I saw it on the at home.
You
on
typed
disc.
It. You typed it in and said, "Please send this movie to me.
That's
I'd
right.
like to watch
That's
it."
Right. I collect. Well, I collect. Mm-hmm. Put it at the top of the queue.
Did you?
Yeah. Top. So watch at the top. It was. It wasn't bad, Anderson. Not a bad movie. The effects are very, very good.
No, I see where you're going.
What?
Because you promised to never make me watch another bad movie. And you're saying,
"Oh
this
no,
is
I'm
not
going to make you watch Real Steel, probably, unless you've seen all the other."
I wanted to watch it secretly.
It's not a terrible film. It's very formulaic, but what do you want? I feel like it's for kids. I think it's PG or PG-13. There's not any. There's no blood. I don't think there's any cursing. The effects are very, very good. They're really accomplished. It's one of the best effects I've ever seen in terms of like fighting robots and stuff.
Mm, you must have loved that.
I did. I loved
Large
it a lot.
Large boner while
yeah,
watching.
Yeah, huge fighting robot movie. And the kid was okay. What was I going to say? I wish they'd been a little less interested in their giant set pieces because the movie takes place in like these very Blade Runner-ish kind of like, you know, illegal robot fighting halls.
RoboCop style.
Kind of.
Yeah, like the back halls, like the empty warehouses.
Yeah, but it's almost like their arena is built for this. So it's they're very interested in exploring the
is Fight Club,
the space.
Fight Club for kids?
Oh, no. There's no social commentary at all. Mm-hmm. It's just, you
That's
know.
Why it's, for
it's,
kids.
It's a
kids can't keep up with social commentary.
No, it's a redemption story. It's I would like to say it's Rocky-esque, but it's kind of like, you know, the Hugh Jackman's a very loserish character and pulls it all together with the help of the kid.
That's a word.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Remember earlier when you were saying I can't remember what I was going to say?
Yeah.
I think it should have been my next movie that I saw. That would be a good thing to say.
Yeah. I wish they'd been more interested in developing the robot as a character because actually the robot is kind of like E.T.-ish.
Does he have AI? As in, does he have like,
no.
his own self-awareness?
No.
He's just totally a remote control.
Yeah, that's a problem.
How do you develop that character?
I wish they had done something about that in the script to make him a little more – he had been able to learn or something. You know what I mean? Sort of like the Arnold Schwarzenegger character in Terminator 2.
Made
like,
me cry.
That's right.
When he there's the flowers, and then he went in the he melted himself.
That's right.
Made me cry.
High five to the kid. He's the only father figure he ever knew.
Cried.
That's right. Anyway, okay movie. What was a better movie? It was a documentary.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Better movie. I saw was a documentary called "Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead."
Fuck me.
What?
The best movie I saw last week. I didn't include in here.
Why?
I put together my list. So
this was it.
Hazardly. No, but it's a documentary. And it's
oh,
fucking awesome.
I thought you saw.
God damn it.
Okay. Did you see "Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead"?
No. Yeah. A long time ago. 6 months ago, I think.
Okay, I was going to say.
I don't even know.
It's only from 2010.
Yeah.
It's a documentary directed by Joe Cross and Kurt Engfer. It starts with...
a listener had me watch this.
The ostensible story is that Joe Cross is an Australian guy. He's very accomplished in business. He's industrialist. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he is overweight by about 100 pounds or something like that. Yeah, he loses 100 pounds through juicing. He turns to an all-juice diet. He embraces juicing and gets all his nutrients that way from juicing fruits and vegetables.
Very exciting. You watch
it's not that exciting. Not that exciting.
You
first
see him
half.
He actually take the solid vegetables and liquefy them.
He's liquefying them and he
it's
consumes
phenomenal.
Them. And he consumes them.
It's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
To
and he goes
that.
Around the States and he just talks to people yeah. about, you know, their eating habits and blah, blah, blah.
It's another, you're fucking up your life. You're eating the wrong things. And here's what you can do, but you're probably not going to do
it. Yeah. It's a reverse. It's a reverse supersize me because he doesn't do the bad food. He does the good food.
Right.
But he's still talking about obesity and talking to people and blah, blah, and all that. The movie really picks up in the second half when he talks to – who does he meet? Phil Staples. Phil Staples is a trucker. He's like 450 pounds. He's incredibly obese. He's dying. And he meets Joe Cross, the star of the story, and Joe – puts him on this routine, this regimen. Says, if you juice, it'll change your life. And
juice.
The second half of the story is is the story of Phil Staples trying to lose the weight, trying to change his life. And it's really inspiring. Mm-hmm. And you notice right here, Anderson, got some juice.
Me. I'm gonna, so suggestive.
I'm on a juice kick. I've been on a juice kick. I've been juicing.
A lot of preservatives in that. In that.
No. This
super,
is
super green.
No, this is evolution. Evolution fresh. There's no it. There's no preservatives. It's 100% juice. Mm-hmm. Fruits
Stop
and vegetables.
Juice.
Juice. Okay. It's a good movie. It's a B. It's a B plus. It's a very very touching at points.
I don't remember this movie at all.
Very
sweet. Maybe I didn't see it.
Very
damn it, I feel like I saw it.
It may make you see it.
Not a matter of.
It feels a tiny bit manipulative, like it was like financed by the juicing industry. Like yeah. It may have been financed. So I went to look at Joe Cross's website. First thing on there is a big advertisement for a juicer.
Here's something really exciting. I have orange tree in my backyard.
Yeah.
Made some orange juice.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, fresh orange is fucking awesome.
Took a lot of work.
Why?
I made it though. Because I kind of fucking cut them in half and squeeze them.
I guess that's true.
And I had five people at my house because I was giving away a dog.
Yeah, ooh.
Gave away a dog.
Which one?
I went to the shelter, picked out a dog, and then I gave it away.
Good for you, buddy.
I fostered it.
Look at you.
2 days it was in my house before I gave it away. And you know what sold them? Fresh squeezed oranges. I'm like, isn't that nice? And
fresh orange is awesome.
They were so... They're on such a sugar, natural sugar high. They're like, we want this fucking dog.
Yeah.
And they took off with the dog.
Can I give you a little tip? Next time you have fresh squeezed orange juice,
does it involve lemons?
Get a little bit of tangerine juice from the store or tangerine.
You know
just add a little bit in there.
I got a tangerine tree right next to my orange.
Do you really?
In the backyard.
Oh, buddy, you're in for a treat. That's awesome.
This is the worst segment we've ever done. Mike, come on in, dude.
No, don't come in.
He doesn't have any respect for radio or how it works.
Finally.
Look, Mike Catherwood did show up. I thought that he was going to flake on us because I told him not to come in. But look, he's here.
He said 7 o'clock.
I know, but I disinvited you when you were being a cock yesterday, remember? Anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. We're finishing up. Just sit there.
Hang tight, buddy. I'm going to my last flick.
Sit back and watch
my last flick.
All right, Bert, Gary.
All right, quiet down. No one gets that. Don't even turn on his mic.
I finally saw one of your favorite films of all time.
Oh, yes. You instant messaged me about this.
From 1971.
Yes.
Harold and Maude.
Yeah.
Saw Harold and Maude finally.
Okay,
directed
do the right
by
thing
Hal
here.
Ashby.
Please do the right thing.
What's that?
Talk about how it's not a good movie, and then I can just hammer you.
No, I will not talk about that. Starring Bud Cort and Ruth Gordon.
Bud Cort.
No, it is a great movie. It's a very good movie. It's very enjoyable. I will say this is one of the few, but it's the minority of films from 1971 who you can really still enjoy. I think you can rent this today and still enjoy it.
Clockwork Orange is another.
There's not many films from 1971 you can still enjoy today as much as you would have bet then.
That is true. It's one of those ones that holds up. I think it was all my also-rans of movies.
It's described as a dark comedy. It is very 70s. Mm-hmm. It's very anti-establishment. There's a lot of macabre humor in here. Mm-hmm. Great soundtrack. Fantastic soundtrack. Soundtrack holds up all the way.
All the way across.
Yeah, fantastic. Maybe better today than it was back then. The soundtrack, that is. It's not dated at all. Entertainment Weekly put it as the number 4 cult classic of all time.
It's dated in the sense that it is very 70s, but all the themes and all the messages and the characters definitely stand up and hold
and all the actions and the events all totally you're still
once you I mean give it 5-10 minutes. I mean, a lot of people have a hard time looking at old 70s things with the style and the stock of footage.
I would say it starts with a bang, but it starts with a great scene right away.
I watched the opening sequence just a couple of weeks ago in research for this year program, and it is very fun watching him kill himself in a multitude of ways.
It is the number 9 romantic comedy of all time according to AFI.
Maybe my top 5 sex scenes as well, I think.
You know what? No. I didn't want to talk about that, but now you brought it up. That's the one thing I didn't like about the film.
Ruth Gordon.
I wish they hadn't gone there. I wish they hadn't gone there. I wish they had been more...
They didn't really go there. It was very discreet.
I wish they were more discreet.
Please. You see more old lady vagina and hot coffee.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
So my one problem with the film isn't actually a problem with the film. It is the DVD cover or the poster or whatever they use now. Mm-hmm. It's so misleading because Bud Cort, first of all, is very young looking,
it's
but he looks like he's about 12.
Right?
Well, he looks like he's about 12 years old, mm-hmm. and she's like scowling. And that's the wrong thing because she's so full of life and such a joie de vivre. She needs to be like smiling or stealing a car or something.
She's old. A smile looks like a scowl.
What I'm saying is if you're come across this movie on Netflix and you see this DVD cover, I think you're going to be turned off because you're like, oh, it's about a cranky old woman or a grandson. No, it's about a unlikely love story. Check it out. Harold and Maude. Good flick.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. I don't remember her scowling, but let me see. I'm gonna
pull up right now.
Oh yeah, she looks earnest.
Yeah,
she looks cynical.
Totally wrong for a character.
Very disappointed. It's because they're both reacting to something. They're probably reacting to the man.
It's like if
a movie made by a hippie for hippies of the time. But that being said, it still stands up today. 8.0 on IMDb.
Yeah, good flick.
What were we saying, buddy?
I was saying it's like if they had put like a Anton Chigurh from No Country for Old Men on the poster going like, like a big smile or something like that.
Not quite that.
Exactly like that.
Not quite that.
Exactly like that.
Because he looks fairly upset as well, or concerned. They're both looking in the distance, and they both look upset and concerned. And I bet you they're looking at the man.
How fucking young did Bud Cort look? I thought he was 12 years old.
Bud Cort is awesome.
I honestly thought he was 13 years old.
Childhood movies, which you can't find anywhere anymore. God damn it, hipsters, get on this. This should be your favorite movie. It's my favorite childhood movie. It's called Die Laughing. I've probably seen it more than any other movie. Robbie Benson and Bud Cort. Bud Cort plays the antagonist, and he is awesome. He is great. Die Laughing. Figure that out. Find that. Netflix, get that on your playlist. What the fuck's wrong with you? Die Laughing.
Coming up next, we're going to bring in Mike Catherwood. We're going to hit our top five. We're going to bring him in figuratively to the conversation. That's what I was talking about. Top five worst movie-going experiences next. You know, Anderson,
Normally
I don't do a double take when I go over the Amazon list of things that people purchased.
I don't watch you when you do that.
Normally I just kind of observe, eyebrows raised once or twice, but I did a double take when I came across a variety pack, a sampler plaque of...
What is a plaque exactly?
A sampler pack of dildos and butt plugs.
Whoa!
Some of
our listeners,
dildos and butt plugs. They actually have funny names. Purple Haze, Midnight Purple, Severin. I don't know what that means either. I don't know what that means. The Ace.
What is that, just a big mouth?
Thanks to whoever bought the dildos and the butt plugs. We appreciate you keeping the show in business.
Get it, because Adam talks a lot.
Yeah, someone bought an iPod Nano. Mm-hmm. Someone got a Samsung Galaxy. Someone got a man groomer, do-it-yourself electric back hair shaver. No joke about that.
Jesus, I wonder if it's the same guy that got the purple haze.
Maybe.
Shave me.
Someone got a Amazon Kindle.
Gross.
Someone got a electric Amazon breast Kindle. Pump. I appreciate you helping us while you help your kid. Mm. And
very different. Very eclectic listeners we have.
That's right. An infant car seat, a mattress pad for someone's crib, I assume a baby.
What?
A road bike. Someone got a sweet road bike.
Thanks
very much for getting it through us. A extension ladder, like a telescoping multi-ladder. It's a very cool item.
Some burglar.
72-hour slimming pills. Good luck with that. Mm. So, a French rolling pin, which I assume is to chase your husband around the house. And someone got a sewing machine. I didn't realize they even made those anymore.
Sewing machines? What do you suggest they use? Small Chinese boys? Again with the Asian. Why? This is an Asian-infused episode.
Said that. Anyway, movies.
Movies. Here's some of the movies that you kids bought. Pulp Fiction Blu-ray. All right. Raging Bull. Fantastic. Seven. Hell yes. Two of you bought Seven. Taxi Driver. Awesome. Awesome so far.
Yeah.
The Godfather Collection. All three. Two are good.
Yeah. Good movies.
Transformers Trilogy.
Oh, yeah. The best. The best.
Ashamed. What else? What else you guys get here? Let's see, Brian. Look at this. All right. Drive. Hell yes. Igby Goes Down. I'm nervous. because I highly recommended it. However, you know what they spent for it?
Mm.
A penny.
Really?
They got it for
a penny?
I'm not that worried about it. I have a feeling it was used. And Jurassic Park Full Screen Collector's Edition.
Did we get an eighth of a penny for that?
Full screen? Full screen.
For Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
Mm, you're cheating yourself.
Full screen. Yeah, why would you do that?
Turn that back in for the widescreen edition.
Yeah, get the widescreen. Get the letterbox.
Thank you guys for all your Amazon purchases. If you're going to make any purchases on Amazon, hey, it's almost wedding season. You have to do some wedding gifts soon.
Yeah. Just, hey, you're on the site right now. You might be. You go check out my goofy-ass face and Mike Catherwood's beautiful face. Beautiful man.
Anderson and Brian.
Click through while you're on there.
Yeah, AndersonandBrian.com. Thank you. Hey, this is Bruce Willis. You're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBrian.com. Yeah, we're back.
Don't be so enthusiastic, man. So
usually we kind of I ease into the segment.
You like this groove? It's a pretty crunchy groove. It's got to say.
Crunchy groove. Thanks to whoever this is. Logan will be in a second.
Logan,
your name.
You are down to 14%.
And slipping.
Officially.
And slipping.
I mean, this is terrible.
That's more money in our pocket.
Doesn't send us shit. Doesn't let us know who the featured artist is, which is a huge part of every week's show.
That's right.
I like Logan.
Hi, buddy. How are you,
Mike Catherwood in studio.
Hi, everybody.
Host of Loveline, co-host of Loveline. How's that going?
It's good.
Yeah,
it's good.
It's a
fantastic way to make a living. It really is awesome.
He also is known for buying American and only eating American and being American, only watches American films. You'll appreciate that.
I have so many questions about that. So, Domestic Journey.
Plenty of time off air after the show.
Why can I not approach it on the air?
Because it's not really on brand.
What does that mean?
We talk about nothing but movies here.
Is that true?
I believe it is the film vault.
That's right. Allow me to diverge for a second from movie talk.
Mm-hmm.
Domestic Journey. Is that domesticjourney.com?
Yes, sir.
Logan would normally provide our plugs, but he's not. He's been fired. So explain, please, if you can, to the listening audience.
Yeah, it just pretty much chronicles my one-year-long experiment of trying to buy exclusively American-made products.
That's interesting. Buy or use or partake in, like, for example, films. Like, how does that work?
Well, as long as...
How far do you take it, I guess?
I mean, I take it as far as anything I spend money on in 2012 will be made within the United States of America.
What's been the hardest thing not to buy or use or partake in?
Designer clothes.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if I see like a really nice pair of boots or a really nice sports coat and I'll be like, but you know, it's Italian or something. I'd be like, I'd like to buy that. But, you know, outside of that, we're very lucky here in Southern California to be close to so many natural resources that my food, it really makes it very easy for me. I mean,
right.
I can have year round citrus fruit. I can have avocados. Anything I really want is made very locally.
Although you're absolutely right. Although I don't think people look at labels enough, especially here, that a lot of stuff comes from Mexico. I was shocked at how much fresh fruit and vegetables, and even if it is fresh fruit and vegetables, is product of Mexico.
And you'd be surprised how much canned food too. I would have thought.
Actually, I wouldn't be surprised about that part.
I would have thought that, you know, if they're going to take the time to can it, you know, with trucking prices and everything, you'd think that it would just be domestic, but it's not. It's from a lot of places. But I have struggles, and then there's a lot of stuff that's surprisingly easy. I would have thought toiletries would have been very difficult, but it turns out a lot of like toothpaste and deodorant and stuff is made here in the U.S. So.
Yeah, Procter & Gamble is here, so you got almost 80% of your stuff covered that
way. You know, Johnson & Johnson, a weird one. Like I got some new tattoo work, and I went to go get bandages and stuff. I couldn't find gauze and like lotion for the life of me. It was all made in China or South America. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
So I had to go to like a special medical store with like where they sell gout shoes.
Did you start it on January 1st?
I did. Yeah.
So are you looking forward to January 1st next year? Like people look forward to the end of Lent?
Not as much as I would have thought I would. I mean,
well, for clothes buying.
What's the first thing you're gonna buy?
Clothes.
Probably like a new suit.
Like an Armani.
Yeah.
Yeah, something Italian.
I'm not an Armani guy, but I'd probably, like a Dolce & Gabbana suit or something like that.
That's really, really gay. I can't even pronounce that properly.
What are your best
Dolce
options
Gabbana?
For...
Dolce & Gabbana? Isn't that like an ice cream?
No. What are your best options? That's Italian.
Dolce.
That's Dolce de Leche.
Yes,
it's a flavor of gelato.
I believe that's Spanish.
It's a suit?
It's a flavor.
It's a suit as well. Okay, here we go.
What are your best options for clothes?
Oh my God! We're still doing this.
No, I'm very interested in this.
Men's casual wear. There's actually a tremendous amount of really good American-made designers.
And like Simon boutique
Spur,
stuff.
Simon
right?
Spur, Rag and Bone, and then stuff made handmade like here in Los Angeles. Yeah, a lot of like smaller boutique brands, mom and pop brands. Great stuff. But when it comes to like high end stuff, like suits and loafers, it's tough to find. Brooks Brothers, Hickey Freeman, they do make stuff like that, but it doesn't suit me well.
What if a small boy, any color, was shanghaied to China and forced to make products over there? Would you buy something from him?
No.
He's American.
He's being employed.
He's an American.
He's being employed by someone else.
But he's been shanghaied. And he's American.
He's getting paid in yen.
If no one buys his product, he gets slaughtered.
He's murdered. Yeah.
I guess
you could call me a murderer too.
Yeah.
That's right. That makes sense.
Yeah. Let's do this.
Right. You know what? A few years ago, this would have been hard to do in terms of the movie part of it because every disc is made in China.
Right.
But now you can stream 75% of the stuff you want to watch.
Cadillac, you can almost guarantee that. I mean, you didn't buy it during this crusade that you're doing, but you can almost guarantee there are some Japanese parts in there.
Without question. Yeah. The electronic parts, you know. I mean, if I, for instance, that's a good example. My Cadillac is an American-made product. It was made in Michigan, but the components are obviously from all over the world.
Of course.
If I break a fuel pump and have to go get a new one, I'm in a bad way because that maybe that fuel pump isn't necessarily
buying a Schwinn. He'll be buying a Schwinn then.
But if I buy a new car, I can buy a Cadillac safely within my
But there's like a lot of Toyotas that are assembled here.
Tennessee, so they make a ton of Toyotas.
I can't believe I brought it back to this. I'm sorry.
What do you what do you do for gas? Do you not shop at BP?
Well, no, I
got to
take it that
good
far.
Question.
In California, the majority of our gas is also you got to remember, I'm not buying crude oil. I'm buying gasoline for a car, which is almost all made in the United States. The crude is bought from other places, but actually the majority of the crude oil from California is bought from Canada, so it's not like we're funding terrorism here because of our
some Canadians
because they drill up there
and it's because we have such extremely stringent ecological standards here in California.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, so they actually just pipe it straight in from Canada, and then they refine it here to this extreme level
oil refineries here in the state.
Yeah,
that is. So if you blog about this stuff, right?
You write about
this at domesticjourney.com. That's right. Check it all out because it's obviously, to me, it's very interesting. Are you in a relationship? Are you dating? Or are you
I am.
Okay, so how is that manifesting itself with all of the restrictions? Is she going nuts?
Her birthday came by recently, and I bought her jewelry, and a lot of high end jewelry is from like South France Africa. And stuff. Yeah, exactly. But I went, and there's a place in Venice where I live that he's like a local jeweler, and he does a lot of high end stuff, and he hand makes his stuff there. So I mean, it takes a little more effort. Believe me.
Thank God the internet is around in this time when you want to do this, because otherwise you'd be able to find guy who makes local jewelry.
You're exactly right. And also,
where would he blog about it?
Talking about gas. Exactly. Talking about gas. I'd so much rather go online and find out where my gas is coming from than go up to the manager of every gas station and be like, excuse me.
Who owns this?
Excuse me, sir.
You know what the answer would be? No, we have no bathroom.
Yeah.
That would be the answer. Listen, I'm glad Logan's not here, because half of them will be very offended and hurt by this conversation, because you're not buying from his people.
Yes.
Secondly, I keep getting up and going in there to check.
You
because
do.
We are having technical issues, and
oh,
the board
wrong.
Keeps turning on and off. So,
why?
So far, so good. Everything we've spoken to this point right there, is being recorded. But I can't guarantee anything for the future. But that's just for us to know.
Thank God.
The listener doesn't have to deal with that. So let's go. Let's talk movies. That's where you take it away.
Top five time. Top five worst
movie going experiences.
I just wanted to think that this recording had stopped.
Oh. Good one.
Top five worst movie going experiences. Mike, pick this category. What do you have? Some what drew you to this?
Well, I have terrible movie going experience. I mean, I have a tremendous, and they're not necessarily bad movies. I just was such
experience.
A terrible person, and growing up, that I made it into bad experiences because I was of my behavior.
Oh, Anderson's leaving again. This is the best film vault ever.
Yeah, you and I just chit chat.
This is fantastic. Anderson, I'm very much looking forward to his list, because I don't know about you, but the Anderson I know is prone to anger.
Oh, yeah.
So I imagine there will be a few instances of it flying off the handle.
That's an understatement. Are we all good in there, sir?
We got a thumb. Either a thumbs up or middle finger. I can't tell. It's dark in there. Yes, we will have
many. Yay!
Wow.
All right, here we go.
Many stories.
So, Mike, you are our guest. You may go first if you like.
By the way, first three-time guest, right?
Is this your triple crown, really?
Yeah.
It is, sir. It
what
is.
Were the – I know you did dancing scenes. With
best us. Dancing scenes. And then before that, we did most overrated.
Wow.
Nice.
We also did greatest Gary's movies ever.
What?
Inside joke that only Mike and I enjoy, but we enjoy
great.
That quite
I'm glad
a bit.
That very
thank
much.
You for that inside joke, Mr. Mm-hmm. Kleinman. Here we go. I will start us off since I'm the guest. My fifth worst movie going experience.
Hold on.
Come on.
The way that we've seen a lot of creative ways of people coming up with lists and how they write it down. We watched Petros Papadakis actually write it in Sharpie on his arm as he sat before us, right before we fired up the mics. Mike Catherwood, kind of topping everybody, he's got actual checkbook.
He has written on the back of
it. It's written on the back of a, now that's a used checkbook, so you have nothing but carbon copies.
No, there's new checks in there.
There's checks in there. Mm-hmm. I just keep my receipts on.
Is that your way to let the ladies know that you're always swimming in it?
No, it's because if I mean, it really doesn't show off how much money you have in your checking account. It's
no, but
checks.
It suggests that you like to write checks. Okay, go ahead.
All right. My top five worst going movie experiences. Top five, and number five is Gran Torino.
Mm.
Gran Torino.
Mediocre movie. It
yes,
was fine. It was entertaining. But
some
I went to go see it. I actually went to see it on the night it opened. In Alhambra, California.
Ooh.
And for those of you who are locals, you know that mm-hmm. that's about 85% Chinese and another 10% other
Korean,
various Asian.
Yeah. Hey, dragon lady.
And I went with an Asian friend and an Anglo friend of mine, and we sat and were in the middle of the theater with a packed house of almost exclusively Asian viewers.
Yep.
And it just got uncomfortable. It
I
just
bet.
Really got – because a lot
no
of the
laughs.
Younger kids
no
there were like really like yelling at the screen like how,
fuck you, old man.
How dare he say gook and what the fuck's wrong with this guy. And then it just turned into like when someone gets the hook on Showtime at the Apollo.
The Sandman comes out and starts brushing him off the stage.
It was really
– how'd they get him off the stage?
Well, they didn't, but my point being is that
throwing
the crowd
hook?
Was just
– they revolted.
Increasingly more and more upset and it got – and it was – and it for me did get a bit – uncomfortable. It ruined the entire movie going experience.
Really?
I can see that.
But I would think that would make it a little better.
Because then I got to the point where I didn't want him to say any more racist stuff to
when
Asians.
He's still, like, when he,
I was like, please stop this
please
because
stop.
It's only making the movie worse
when
for
me. When he saw the black guys in the corner and he walked up to him, he said, what are you spooks doing? You're like, thank God.
No response. No response from the crowd.
Right.
Spread it around.
But then when he started going after the Asians again, was the chopstick started to fly. They'd actually serve wonton soup at that. I've been to that theater. And were they throwing the wonton soup?
There was no wonton soup there. They do not serve that there. You're lying.
Oh, no, I know. I've been there before.
You're lying.
I thought that was one of the options.
They do serve boba drinks, though. That is not a joke. They do serve like
I got
boba.
It confused. Okay. They both have mushy things and they're liquid
primarily. I hate boba. Don't like boba.
Mm-hmm. No one cares about that.
Brian?
Could be honest.
Would you like to give us your number 5?
You can easily choke on that. You would think that people would choke. You know, many, many Asian American, or actually Japanese men, die of mochi. Every year they choke and die of mochi.
Really? Shut up.
Swear to God. Write it in my death encyclopedia. I got a book that tells about all the different ways people die. And I guess that's the big food on New Year's Eve. So they get wasted on what is the drink? What is the drink? The rice drink.
Sake?
Sake. And then they eat the mochi and they eat it too fast and they choke and die. Yeah.
I tried to introduce my dad to mochi and I gave him some from Trader Joe's, the strawberry one. And he's eating it and he's like trying to chew and making a face. And I'm like, Dad, what do you think? And he goes, it's like a strawberry tit.
I would not
good way to describe
say
it.
That my dad ever said anything remotely like that, but okay. Sorry, Mrs. Bishop, you had to hear that.
It's true. Okay, number 5 for me. I like my look at my cat was steering the ship. I like this.
Well, that's what, it's what it does for
take the goddamn night off tonight. Mm-hmm. From 2009, Transformers 2.
What? Oh. That's my also-ran.
Oh, my God.
That's what? An also-ran, yeah.
How is that? That's the worst movie ever.
Exactly. That's why it's a terrible movie-going experience.
I had recently completed radiation. My brain tumor.
Oh, here we go.
I was on chemotherapy.
Here we go.
And this movie was released on the weekend of my wedding, so I was very excited to see it after we got back from our honeymoon. Mm-hmm. I wasn't doing so well, Anderson. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember back then, but I was radiated. And,
yes, you were.
As you explained to me, which I was feeling, but you encapsulated in so many words, you're like, yeah, it's like Vegas all the time. Like, everything's overwhelming. It's overstimulation, too much, all the...
Right.
Yeah. It's too much.
Still is, apparently, because I'm just moving my hand and Brian is completely distracted by it.
Yeah.
I will not move anymore, sir. I apologize.
So when I was diagnosed in April of 2009 with a deadly brain tumor, I was given 6 months to a year to live.
This is making our guest very uncomfortable.
No, I can tell he likes this.
Very uncomfortable. I can tell he likes the tumor talk. Tumor talk.
And one of my first thoughts, sadly, my first thought was like, oh, I'm getting married. I hope I make that. Second thought was, well, I really want to see Transformers 2 and G.I. Joe this summer. So
was that really the second thought, or was that the first thought?
It might have been the third. It was top three. For sure, top three.
Top three.
Yeah.
I guess
Transformers 2 and G.I.
Joe.
When
Sidney Crosby got drafted by the Penguins and he was going to play alongside Mario Lemieux, I remember that was like right at the height of the terrorist attack,
right.
Like a level, like the terror threat. And I used to have this thought on a daily basis. Like, if the terrorists are going to hit, please make it after the hockey season starts because I have to see Lemieux and Crosby on the same ice playing together.
This is a parallel to what I was thinking. So went to see Transformers 2 long way. I was 2 weeks after it was released. I couldn't believe I waited 2 weeks, but I was on a honeymoon. Mm-hmm. And my wife would not see it on a honeymoon. And I went to see it. And it was just too fucking loud.
Two
it was just
after.
Too much. It was too loud. Too much explosions. Too much pounding.
Too much humor. Like when the chihuahuas are banging on the front. That was hilarious.
It was just too much. I couldn't follow anything. Like the movie was moving too fast. Images were too big.
That was for me too. And I have no brain tumor as far as I know.
Imagine how bad it was for me then in that case.
Because Michael Bay doesn't really know how to direct good action as far as I can tell. He just makes the camera fucking up close and lots of confusion. So it seems like there's a lot of shit going on, but it's like you're inside that biosphere and you're also – your feet are above your head and you have no fucking idea relevance of what's going on or how it's happening.
Now imagine
it's awful.
You have,
it's
now
called
imagine
lazy
brain
filmmaking.
Cancer. Now imagine you have radiation.
Hold on. Let me try that. Yeah, it's no good.
No, it's no good.
No better at all.
It's way worse with brain cancer.
You could have, though, maybe nodded off and then you would have been better off than all of us.
Think about that.
If you fell asleep right in the middle of it. Because this is what I was dealing with when the chihuahuas were humping, which was moments before I got up and walked out of the theater. Moments before I walked out of that fucker. I tried to watch it for Brian's sake so I could explain to him why it was a terrible movie.
So you could talk about it at my funeral?
And I was going to quote some good lines at his funeral.
One shall stand.
And
one shall fall. Oh.
There was a guy sitting next to me eating his popcorn like unsmart people do. He was the guy that was really upset when the trailers were going and he was saying, when's robot movie? When the robot movie,
but he
wasn't mentally challenged. He was just that guy. And he was like, oh, dogs humping. Oh, my God. That was the audience for that movie.
That's awesome.
His breath was awful. And I was at that point that I'm like, ow.
Number 5 for you.
Number 5 for me.
That wasn't number 5?
No, that was an also ran. All right, here we go. Number 5. Today was May 22nd, 1999. I remember because, God damn it, was I excited for Fear and Loathing. Like, I was excited, like no little boy had been excited for a movie, to the point where I found out where the production office was 6 months before they started doing the movie. They had just cast Benicio and Johnny Depp. I went to the production office, knocked on the door. I might have told you this story
before.
And I said, here's my resume. I'd really like to work on your movie. I'll even do it for free. Like, I was obsessed with the book, obsessed with Benicio del Toro at the time. It was before I was bored with Johnny Depp. And I really wanted to work on this movie badly. There was another component. Terry Gilliam was one of my favorite directors at the time. So it was like all the stars were aligning. And I was like 22-year-old meth head. And I had a lot of motivation. So I went down there and they flatly denied my – they didn't barely even open the door for me. But about a year later, the movie comes out, May 22nd, 1998. At this point, my littlest youngest sister, she's obsessed with the book as well. And she is obsessed with Benicio. So we go down to see it. First showing in Westwood, Westwood Village. Two of my stories actually come out of Westwood Village, which is the big UCLA town here in Southern California where all the old original great theaters are. It's still a great place to go see movies.
They've gotten rid of a couple, actually.
They have, and it's sad. But that's where everyone used to go in Southern California, L.A. area, to see the big movies. So opening day, sitting there, and it was straight out of Seinfeld. Movies getting geared up. My sister and I are both very pumped. And a red light appears on the screen, and there's some fuckhead with a laser back in the back. And this is when 1988 is right around when the lasers were getting big.
Yeah,
and it's happening, and the movie's it's about to get dark, and the trailers are about to begin, and the laser continues. And I was thinking, my entire life up until this point has been leading to me sitting here watching Benicio del Toro as Gonzo, and it's going to happen in a matter of moments, and it's going to be ruined by this fucking – no one's saying anything, and I'm waiting for everyone else to say something. I don't want to do anything because I'm with my youngest sister. It's third trailer in. It's still happening, and I stand up, and I make the announcement that he cannot ruin the movie for me. He cannot ruin the movie for everyone. I was leading people into battle. I was like really trying to get the troops behind
up,
me.
Trying to whip
no
up.
One seemed to care about the goddamn thing except for me. And for the rest of the movie, I'm trying to enjoy it. Did not, could not, still don't like it to this day. I could see that he was putting the little thing on my head, much like George Costanza. I lived that actual fucking moment, and it somewhat ruined the movie for me.
I can understand that.
Very, very upsetting. And nice. I was the only one who fucking said anything.
You made the proclamation.
I can't believe that's only five for you. I can't. You're going to be TNT fuming pissed by the time we get to one.
Not even all pissed. Yeah. It's not even all pissed.
Super comical.
My other Westwood moment, though, it almost ended up with me being killed by somebody who could have easily been in Gran Torino.
Oh.
We'll get there, though, later.
An old man like Clint Eastwood?
Nope.
Oh.
The other kind.
Oh, no.
My number four of the worst movie-going experiences is Metallica Some Kind of Monster.
Ooh. Yeah. I haven't seen that.
Documentary film.
Oh, you're about to.
About the making of Saint Anger. And it's just middle-of-the-road movie. It's an enjoyable experience if you like Metallica. But I went to see it, it's kind of like an art house deal because it's a documentary. So they weren't showing it in the big theaters. So locally in Pasadena, I had to go to this like really bootleg theater and see it. It was the only place showing it. And this bootleg theater had really bad sound, and one of the whole sides of the theater speakers was out, so it was only left channel.
Not a good movie for that.
So it's
that
a movie about like one of those powerful sonic bands in the world,
right?
And there was also no one else there except for two cholos who really gave two squirts of piss about Metallica, and were like talking on their phone and stuff. But I was by myself, and I didn't want to say anything because I might get my ass kicked by it. It was two of them, and they were like kind of rough looking. So it was just horrible.
Did you overhear them talking?
They were just on the phone, like stupid stuff. Like, oh, no, dog, I'm at a movie. All right. No, I'll be at later. All right, fool. Hey, did you talk to Vivian, dog? All right. just like having conversations, you know. They were clearly just killing time. And so that was
like they were waiting for their movie to start.
And I
they were selling drugs.
I was trying so hard to get into the movie, and I just couldn't. It was to always take it out. And like hearing like them working on the album, you know, you get this unbelievable access to like Metallica studio making of an album, and Kirk Hammett would break into like guitar work and it'd be one channel and you're like, oh, this is fucking shit.
Yeah.
Did you ever see it for real?
Like, yeah, later on you'd see it on like VH1 Classic.
But that stigma sticks there, right? Like, it's forever a little bit ruined.
It was a terrible experience. Yeah, it was a terrible experience.
Number four for me. Mm-hmm. 2009.
So involved cancer as well, Brian?
I'd been recently treated for radiation cancer.
Such a cunt.
Inglourious Bastards. Inglourious Bastards.
Oh.
This was on my list of top five most anticipated for the summer before I got diagnosed with cancer. And my buddies Frank and John took pity on me because I was pretty much bedridden. I was not allowed to go out very much, especially on my own. And my buddies decided to take me off my wife's hands for a night and said, oh, we're going to take Brian out to see Inglourious Bastards. Mm-hmm. And I went to see Inglourious Bastards. It was a very, very good movie.
Did you have your walker at this point?
I was on and off the walker at this point. I was about to go on the walker full time. Mm-hmm. I was having trouble getting around. They had to walk me to the theater. I had to hold both of their shoulders and walk between them because I couldn't balance myself. Mm-hmm. So I'm stumbling, staggering to the theater with my hands on both of their shoulders, and they're walking super slow.
It's all right. You're bald. You look like you're just an old man.
That's exactly what I look like.
Just look like a very old man.
That's right. Yeah. Like I had progeria or something.
Just an old man.
Just an old man. Okay. And then here's the thing, Anderson. I don't know if you know much about radiation and chemo, but it severely weakens your muscles and the muscles that hold back urine. And so the urge to pee came on about halfway through that 2.5 hour film. Mm-hmm. I spent the last hour and 15 minutes really, really having to pee. And like my eyes were turning yellow.
Come on. You peed a little bit.
I may have dribbled
a little bit.
But
tell me which theater and which seat, because I will never sit in it.
But it was at the Grove, the Pacific Theaters. Uh-huh. That's all I remember. I was radiated.
I don't want to steal anybody's thunder, but one of my top three, since we've already gotten to four, involves me following through with peeing in my pants. Mm-hmm. So, well, and you're a better man than I.
Don't be a one upper.
No radiation for me, and I ended up just peeing.
Booze though is similar to radiation.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. I don't want to say again.
Don't step on anybody's brain.
But I didn't want to ruin their experience by making them take me to the bathroom. Because I can't go to the bathroom on my own.
Get up and let me do the old man thing where I kind of wobble in between you because I have to pee.
That's right.
Can we pee? Can we? It's only about 20 minutes.
So an hour and 15 minutes of holding back urine was my fourth worst moving in experience.
It offends me, Brian, that you were to ask me earlier in the week if you saw Inglourious Basterds with me. You didn't remember if it was me helping you.
I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I remember there was some – safe. Okay. Number four for you.
Number four for me?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Logan has joined us, everyone.
I don't know who that is.
We still recording in there, Logan? Love I should ask run. Because the – don't do that. Don't do that.
Oh, I just started.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, I am.
Fucker. We've been talking shit about you and your race. And
that's not
everything.
True.
And your race.
Yeah, we have been. A lot of
that. I said I like you.
It was mostly Mike Catherwood talking about how he buys only American.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. All right. I've told this story a number of times, either here on the After Disaster. Brevity is the key here. But long, long time ago, 1982, the theater that I saw it at, once again in Westwood, is actually now a Thrifty's.
Ooh.
And it is when my dad and
great
I
ice cream.
Went to see The Thing. John Carpenter's
cylindrical ice cream.
John Carpenter's The Thing.
Oh man. That is a while ago.
I was like 8, and it was horribly disturbing. And I spent 90% of the movie looking at the back of my chair, just burying my face in my actual chair. But even the sounds and all the carnage that was occurring on the big screen was really getting to my brain and my poor little 8-year-old brain. I was just begging to leave. And my dad didn't want to leave. He enjoyed the film, apparently. I remember him being a film snob, so I can't imagine why he would have liked this movie, but he did. He sat there through the entire thing. Movie finally ends. Credits are rolling. The music at the end of that movie. I watched it. I watched it 2 or 3 times.
Early John Carpenter movies, best music.
Great music.
Name them.
But horrifying, especially if you're an 8-year-old kid in that state of mind where you just were subjected to such horrific, horrific cinema. I'm like, let's get the fuck out of here, Dad. Here we go. It's over. Let's go. And he's like, no. He like holds my arm and he forces me to sit. I'm like, what are you doing? And it's just credits, but it's with that spooky music.
He's emotionally like, waterboarding you.
He's like, I want you to stare at the screen. I'm like, why?
Oh my
Listen
God.
To the music. He's like, see all those names? They all helped create this movie because it's all fake. It's all make-believe. I'm like, yeah, no shit, Dad. I know it's fake. He's a psychologist. You're trying to pull some psycho-babble bullshit on me.
It's still scary.
I'm like, I know it's fake, Dad. I know that people are employed to make the creatures, but doesn't make – see, yeah, there's so many of them. They did a really good job because there's a bunch of them making these horrific images that are going to stick with me for the rest of my life. You fuck. Thanks a lot, Dad. Thanks a lot. All right.
Coming up next.
Not good.
Coming up next. Oh, music time.
Who is this, by the way, Logie? Because we have no fucking clue.
This is Little Pista.
Thanks, Little Pista.
He's from Toronto, Canada.
Yeah. He?
He. Oh. He. Sounds kind of like a... You sure?
She.
That's what I thought you said.
Yeah. Forgot to put the S part there.
Thanks, Little Pista. She is great. Coming up next, the top three... The worst movie going experience. I love when I come into the hood, girls watching me hard. They give me dirty love. I don't need your money. Hope you're enjoying Lady Pista Anderson.
Pista!
She's one of our feature artists of the week.
It's a woman, not a man, as Logan will later decry.
That's right.
Or maybe he already did.
It's Lady Pista. And if you are interested in becoming a feature artist of the week, we always need some good submissions. So just go to AndersonandBrian.com. There's a button right there that says feature artist.
Submit.
Submit. Get in touch with Logan and send him some of your music. And we'd love to have it on if it's good. And even if it's marginal, we'd love to have it on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, send him your music. And we'll maybe hear yourself on a future episode of the Film Vault.
Hell yeah.
AndersonandBrian.com.
Yeah. It's me now.
You guys are authentically enjoying it.
That's right. Little Pista.
We're back. Thanks. Is it Pista. Is Lady Pista or Little Pista?
Little Pista.
It's a man.
On the sheet here it says Lady Pista.
It is Lady Pista.
God damn it.
13%. You weren't here when you got knocked down to 14, but you're now down to 13. Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Lady Pista. We apologize for messing up your name, but you are fantastic.
Andersex.
From Toronto, Canada. LadyPista.blogspot.com. You can get to her through AndersonandBrian.com.
Fuck the Leafs. How about that?
Lady Pista. I don't think she cares.
Yeah.
Just an EP out now. No apologies.
I could picture in a video like riding one of those bikes.
Zambonis?
Wearing a Leafs jersey. I could see that.
Sexy one of those jersey? Bikes.
Yeah, one of those bikes. You know what I'm talking about. One of those bikes.
I see.
With the banana seat.
With this music, I could see her like ghost riding the whip with like a big chain.
I have no idea what that means.
It's you ever see the guys? They actually get a car moving and then they'll hang outside of the car.
I've seen that.
The car is actually in motion.
Oh, like they're dancing
ghost
or are
like
they
ghost
swinging?
Riding it, you know.
Oh, okay.
It's like very, ghost rider. Very popular with
flaming, flaming head.
Mm-hmm.
The young urban
fire.
Children.
He pisses fire.
The new MIA video has some unbelievable car stunts where they're like ghost riding. It's literally unbelievable.
Have you seen The Raid?
Yes.
The Raid reminded me a lot of that one MI video where they go after the gingers. That movie and that video
That's
very
true.
Similar.
That's very
similar.
True.
In fact, I looked it up. I thought it was the same director. I thought so, but no. Turns out no.
The Raid, for you martial arts fans out there, has some of the most absolutely mind-bending fight sequences.
Fight sequence second half. The first half of the movie, if it was a war, essentially it was a war movie, that would have been one of the greatest war movies I've ever seen.
It's an interesting film.
Very interesting. The Raid.
Cool.
Check it out.
Number three for you, Mike.
Now I got over big in Alhambra.
Oh,
if you saw The Raid over there. Yeah.
That's like
wonton
that
soup.
That would be like
that's racist. They don't have wonton.
That would be
soup
like Munich around. Or Inglourious Basterds. How it would go over on Fairfax.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you just if you're Asian and you see The Raid, you want to go kick the shit out of someone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and like because I know like,
is a
I watch
Jewish
Apocalypto
for those of you,
and I just want to serve people. You know, I just
because it's your heritage.
I just did Mexican guys fucking shit up.
It's
yeah.
such a great movie. I love that.
It's way
movie.
Cool. Way
God, I love Apocalypto.
All right, my top three. Now we're down to three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
number movie three. Going worst movie going experiences for me. Number three, Showgirls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very fun film.
It's
very
fun.
Enjoyable
a lot
film.
Of nipples.
I was in a freshman in high school.
Paul Verhoeven.
I was a freshman in high school, and you know when that came out, there was no internet. So you just were promised a bunch of good-looking, topless, naked women. I was very excited to go see this movie. And my friend Michael Stroud and I, we went, and we were not 17, so we had to buy tickets to another movie and then try to sneak into Showgirls. But because of the nature of Showgirls, they had, like, you know, Secret Service protecting the theater.
It was NC-17, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah, you couldn't
I believe
sneak into that
so.
Shit.
And so... So I had a Raiders parka on, and it was you know, it was like summertime. It was, but we were sneaking 40s in, two for me, two for my friend Mike Stroud.
Goddamn typical.
So you're underage, and you're trying to sneak booze,
right?
And you're on a Raiders.
And I drank one of the 40s in the parking lot before we went in. Mike did as well. Other Mike Stroud, my buddy, and he was with a young lady. I forgot her name, but she was from a private school. I didn't know her. She didn't go to our high school, and he was trying to like impress her. So I like. Took his 40, snuck him in my jacket because he was like in normal person clothes because he was trying to look good for this lady. So now I have three 40s and I've already drank one.
That's 120, Brian. Keeping up with the math.
And Michael cannot make it into the movie because he and this lady are not willing to be as daring as I by myself.
Sure.
So I actually did sneak in
good
the crowd and made it in. They went. I wish I could remember off the top of my head what we bought tickets for. But we made it into Showgirl, I did by myself. Now, I don't know what's going on with Michael Stroud and this young lady, and this is before cell phones. So I'm just like, look, I hope they're cool,
yep.
But I'm going to sit here with
no
my
340s
and I'm going
to
watch this movie because this is boner time, right, and right. I'm 15.
Yep.
So you're
really hoping to get a boner in the theater?
Really? Yeah.
Really?
So it's essentially
the Pussycat
material.
Theater.
Spank Bank material.
Yeah, I think maybe for something later, but you wanted it at the moment. You wanted to actually have
I just
boner
was so
–
listen,
I,
at that point, I was like really just excited to see
to
naked
see
girls.
Yeah.
Like, it was so tantalizing to me.
I don't have that anymore.
I think – are we the same age? Because I remember coming out around the same time, my freshman or sophomore year in high school.
I'm 33.
1995.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. 1995.
Right. So I go and I had already drank my 40.
This doesn't
and
end in you beating off, does it?
No.
Good.
No. Good. I'm not that
Not this show, sir. Not in this show.
But by the time there's like we're like an hour and 45 minutes in this movie because it's a long film and the crowd's going crazy. It was like a scene, a mob scene because it was Showgirls and it was like right close to it coming out. So we're like an hour in. I mean, maybe not even that long. And now I've drank all the 40s because like I'm starting to freak that like I'm never going to see Mike again.
But, yeah.
And that's more than I probably drank in my entire life. At
that How are you not peeing every scene?
Well, I keep getting up to go to the bathroom, but then I'm also reluctant to do it again because I don't want to get caught in the rest.
And you don't
want to
miss any nipples.
Right.
Yeah.
And I get drunker at that point, maybe the second most drunk I've ever been in my life, in a movie theater by myself, not knowing if I'm going to get in touch with the people I came with. So now I'm freaking out, and I literally like lose consciousness. I'm gone beyond
You're blacked out.
Being able to take care of myself.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't remember anything else after about 45 minutes, an hour into the movie, I don't remember anything else except for waking up in the theater really hammered, then with my friend Mike Stroud reviving me, and I peed my pants.
Was the theater empty? Was the theater empty?
No, but there was not many people in there.
When you get that loaded and you can like every now and again you'll just get like a good glimpse of someone staring at you and that kind of just sticks with you forever. It's burned. Like you remember them staring
and it was
at you.
It's a dark movie theater. Right. So I just remember people like then I became and I'm 15, 16.
And there's a girl with
them. So I'm super aware. Yeah. I peed my pants.
Staring
dude.
At your – because you're trying to be hard wearing the Raiders – jacket
and trying to be like I'm underage and I drink like crazy.
Yeah, you have beers. You have 40s.
Yep.
This is crazy.
Sanides.
What you should have done.
Sanides.
It'll make your Jimmy thicker.
You should have said.
And we drank Sanides, by the way. We insisted on drinking Sanides because that's what O-Dog drank in Menace.
Really? Did he drink that in Menace?
Yeah.
I need to see that movie again. Great fucking movie. I love that.
Yeah.
Love that Dead Presidents. Hey, you should have been really hard and just said. Explain to the girl that the movie was so fucking amazingly filled with nipples that you kind of came in your pants.
So much jizz.
So much jizz.
I have a prodigious amount of semen.
I was too drunk.
Tell your friends.
I was too drunk and young to think of any excuses. I was just so.
Don't tell your friends.
I was in a sea of embarrassment.
Peter North
you know what
got
I'm saying?
Nothing.
Just a tornado of embarrassment. Yeah.
Or a hurricane, more likely.
Yes. Yeah. Or a hurricane.
Yeah. This is coming from a man who has done more than that in France, but I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah, but I was 19. No, it's a big difference.
Yeah, that, you're in control.
Peeing your pants is one of the worst things you can do.
Oh yeah.
They even have the whole piece about it in Billy Madison. Pee your pants is the coolest.
Now.
Yeah.
Mr. Brian.
If only the time that I crap my pants had been
Brian, we don't want to hear
had
that.
Been tied to a movie.
Nobody
put
needs
on
to
the
hear
list.
That.
Well, it was cuz of chemo.
Four times. Fucking as an adult I've crapped my pants.
Twice, two times,
four times. Go ahead, Brian.
Number 3 for me.
Were you wearing diapers when you were on the chemo?
I should have been.
You want to talk? Really?
Probably should have been.
Okay.
No.
It's a sad situation. Speaking of which, Anderson, 2009, I had recently completed radiation from my
Jesus Christ. Do you see a theme here, Mike?
I'd recently completed radiation.
When you get diagnosed with cancer, what you think to be fatal, I would imagine most your worst experiences, period,
happened
in that six-month
to a year period.
Brian, I'm gonna tell you this. You're using the cancer as a crutch.
It's not a crutch. It's the truth. My third worst movie going experience was The Hangover. 2009, summer. Very excited to see this film. As it drew closer, the previews indicated it was going to be a very, very funny film. And it came out the weekend after my bachelor party. So me and two of my buddies, Adam and Rich, who went on the bachelor – Rich, my buddy who came in and did the top five Christmas gifts. We went out to see the film the weekend it came out. My wife was at her bachelorette.
My wife.
I had just got my fiance at the time. I had just gotten back from my bachelor party with those two guys. So I said, let's go see The Hangover. They're going to take me out, show me a good time. Because again, they're sort of babysitting me.
Okay, so you went to see the goddamn movie. Do we have to hear every single different component that got you to the goddamn movie? No.
We showed up late.
Okay.
Well, we showed up on time, but they wanted to get hot dogs and popcorn and wonton soup. Mm-hmm. It was the Arc Light, so they wanted to get the good
stuff.
Real
fancy.
That's right. We had
they charge you $15 or so. So you know why? You get extra. You get a fat woman that comes in a uniform, and she goes, the movie you're here to see is The Hangover.
119 minutes.
Rated R?
Yep.
It's like, why? They shut off all your cell phones. Why are you telling me this? I bought the fucking ticket.
By the way, the assigned seating at the ArcLight.
That'd be like buying a book and getting home, and then the lady from books Barnes and Noble shows up. The book you bought is
500 pages.
Yes.
The
no need for that.
Those the assigned seating is a slippery slope because what happens is people have their assigned seat. They're like, oh, it can take a little time. We have to get in there right away and save a seat. We can just stand in line for popcorn and soda and whatever. And next thing you know, the movie's already started. And we have our hands full of popcorn and soda and all sorts of stuff. And they're like, oh, we got to make it. Hurry, let's go. I'm in no position to run. No. I'm barely in a position
to
walk.
These are dicks. These friends of yours.
They are kind of dicks because you know what? I'm limping. I'm falling behind them. Like,
oh, my God.
Go.
That's such a sad picture.
And we're in the middle of the row.
Are these frat buddies?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, of course.
In the middle of the row. And they're sliding to their seat. And I'm having a hard enough time walking straight. Walking laterally is very difficult.
Laterally.
And the movie's on. Theater's black. My friends are gone.
I thought you were seeing at the ArcLight.
Sorry, the theater's dark.
Okay.
That's what I meant to say. Lightless. The theater's black. I have popcorn in one hand and I'm spilling it all over people. It's just, I can't hold
it's
all
right.
It. It's popcorn all over people. I am staggering to my seat. I'm right falling off into someone's lap and I'm like, sorry, I'm so sorry.
Probably thought you were like, what is it called when you try and fratinist? What do you call it when you try and touch people?
Fraternizing?
No, it's that word and they use it.
You're fresh?
They used it in Flirting with Disaster. It's a term where it's people in public and they purposely touch.
They may have thought that because I was falling into people's laps. And I got
to
my
seat. Were you grinding once you were in the laps? Were you grinding,
well,
gyrating?
I was attempting to get out. It may have been construed as grinding.
And you were so weak that you probably were going back and forth.
That's right.
Nice.
I was attempting to get out. That's right. I may have made someone's day.
There's something kind of hot about this, but go ahead.
I got out. I got to my seat. The movie ended.
Your poor mom, if she listens to this.
I got
something
movie.
Kind of hot about her cancer-ridden son trying to get off of a man's lap.
That's right.
It's kind of hot to me.
It's kind of hot.
Jesus Christ.
And after the movie, my friends are like, hey, you have a hard time getting your seat? And I was like, and they didn't say that. They're like, what happened? I was like, yeah, I couldn't really get to my seat too easily. Like, oh, man, we probably should have waited for you. I was like, yeah, you probably should have.
But you know what? Hangover starting. Gotta see Hangover.
That's right. So,
you got an Asian man's wiener. It's a little small. Gotta see it. Those guys are dicks.
Third worst movie ever seen.
You know what? Even if I didn't
third
I
worst movie
cancer,
going experience.
If I was there, just in that scenario, going to see The Hangover with frat guys that are friends of yours, that would have been on my top five.
What
probably.
A nightmare.
Yeah, awful. Even if I wasn't falling.
It was fun.
All right, number three for me.
After I got to my seat.
Real quick here. 1990? The date was December 20th. I know because I looked it up. I looked up the release date, and that's the day it came out. And I know that I went and saw this one opening day as well because why? It starred one Robert De Niro. Okay. I saw everything that he did.
Still Goodfellas?
Directed by Penny Marshall, so it's not Goodfellas, Brian. No. It's Awakenings.
Oh. It's a good pick. It's a good fleck.
Very good movie. Love that movie. Top five that year, 1990. It would be my top five. This came out right after Goodfellas. One of the saddest movies I've ever seen. Robin Williams plays the doctor. He needs L-Dopa. That is Robert De Niro. He goes into a fugue state based on reality, based on a true story. Goes into like a coma, like awake coma at a very young age and gets the medication that he needs to come out of it. And I'm not going to try to talk too much about what goes on next, but there's a girl involved. There's some relapsing involved. It was some of the saddest fucking cinema. It actually was on my top five saddest movies or saddest moments or saddest some shit on this show.
Movies made you cry?
And I was weeping to the point where I had to cover my mouth. I was like, and run out of the fucking theater almost as though like I had explosive diarrhea of crying. It was awful. And then here's the thing. 10 years later, the movie comes on, HBO or something. I'm drinking some beers. I'm at a girl's house. I'm like, oh, this is a good movie. Thinking, oh, shit. Hope she doesn't want to stay on it.
Oh, no.
I'm like, so I'm trying. I'm like, it's not that good. That's De Niro, but he's not a tough guy. Yeah. She's like, oh, let's watch it. I'm like, oh, fuck. And I'm like, nah, stay strong. It's cool.
I gotta
it's been years.
Right
you're drinking
back.
Beer. Flash forward to like halfway through the movie, and I'm making that goddamn sound on her couch again. Same movie, different experience. But you know when you're like crying so hard and you're trying to keep it in, but then when it comes out, it sounds even worse than if you just cried normally.
That's right.
So yeah, me fleeing the
sounds
theater.
Like those gaping porns.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
Girls are like, oh,
yes, awful. I don't know that sound. I don't watch those movies.
I do.
Yeah, Gonzo porn lover, Mike Catherwood. Only the American, though.
You're right. In the middle of a great story.
Only the American.
That's right.
You only watch the American gaping porn. But there are Asians in that a lot of the time. Yeah. But anyways, just a horrible, horrible moment in my entire life. Just embarrassing, I should say. A public embarrassment. Running up the aisle of the theater, making that sound, tears flying. Yeah. Okay. Number two
for you.
Holy mackerel.
Very sad.
My number two.
Mid-90s sometime, early 90s. Right around the same time I was peeing myself at Showgirls, I went to go see Seven.
Yeah.
Great film.
About the same time.
And I took a young lady.
Of course you did.
Oh, no.
Of course you did.
And I commenced to use my fingers on her.
Seven's a good movie for that.
And I don't
know. Well,
she
was obviously naturally lubricated after watching
I don't. Well, no, like
the
early
sloth scene
on,
in particular really tantalizes most of my
lady
friends.
No, that's the thing. It's like I took her to that movie because I was at an age
talking
where,
about
like,
gay porn.
I was at an age where like it's hard
Man,
to be,
stop that.
It's hard to be alone with girls at that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't
it's hard
you
to find
place. So I was like, let's just go to a movie.
You have a car.
And I had not had like a lot of alone time with her, but she was clearly okay with like making out and like getting hot and heavy. And so we went into this movie, and right from the start, we like start making out and stuff. We're not paying attention to the movie. And so I used my fingers on this young lady.
Oh,
now,
no.
I don't know if she had a hymen up to this point or if it was that time of the month.
You should have gone to the base with each sin. So like by the time they got to the fourth
base?
Sin,
what, is there
he's
seven
banging.
Bases?
Oh, yeah.
Is that where we achieve gape?
It's
hit for the cycle.
The knife dildo is actually
that's a good band.
Mike, you're about to reveal something disgusting.
Well, Jesus, no, I mean, you guys see where it's going.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if she was a virgin.
More blood on the screen or in your finger?
Well, now, here's the thing. Now, as I'm getting to the point where I realize I'm covered wrist deep in
blood. It doesn't really matter at that point, though, right?
You're simultaneously given the scenes on the screen of, like, extreme macabre.
Right.
And it just made for a horrible scene. I mean, like, really. And this poor girl was so embarrassed. And I'm trying hard in a relatively crowded movie theater to tell her, like, everything's okay. It's like, don't worry. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. This is between us. Now I'm on the radio talking about it.
Saying names.
Yeah, of course not. And
you're not Mike Carano.
And so that's that. I mean, it just was terrible. And I left before. What's in the box?
What's in the box?
So
what's in the box. Blood.
Yeah. So
blood's in the box.
I'm going back with my hand really bloody. I'm going washing my hands in the bathroom.
Do you know
bringing her back paper towels. It was. Nah.
You grab some red vines real quick, and it would just blend. It would blend. You know, John Waters wanted. Actually, he did. I think he made a movie with Smell-O-Rama, and this would have been kind of similar to that. Watching Seven and having the blood, the visceral blood all over your hand. Very meta.
Oh, boy.
Very meta.
Very meta.
Number two for me.
Please, Brian.
Jesus, man. How old were you?
When Seven came out, I was probably 16.
16?
I was a little older than Showgirls.
The year was 2009.
You could learn.
I had recently completed radiation chemotherapy.
Wait a minute. You had chemo?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You had leukemia, didn't you?
Sorry, I forgot. 2009.
Yeah, was it leukemia?
I saw this movie.
Hodgkin's?
District 9. Oh. Was someone in this theater, someone in this room.
You're a son of a bitch.
Someone in this.
You're a son of a bitch. Go
Anderson,
ahead, continue.
Hanging out with you that day was the best part of the day.
Uh-huh.
Anderson, tell everyone your motivations for taking me off my wife's hands for the day.
Oh, motivations? I hadn't seen you in a while. We haven't been doing the show for a while. You're sick.
I was not in broadcast shape. I was slurring my words significantly.
You were pretty fucked up at that time, but I have a lot of experience hanging out with people that are going through chemo. I do. Whether they're on drugs or drunk or they're actually going through chemo and on radiation, I have a lot of experience with people who can't take care of themselves that well. So, plus, I missed you a lot. And
Thanks, buddy. So
I came over.
But that was me that day. I was on a walker full time.
I tried your best. I didn't want you to take the walker. I didn't think you needed it, but you were adamant. Oof. You wanted to bring the walker, so
it would have been me holding your hand otherwise.
Would have been fine, or at least my shoulder. It would have been fine. But I thought it was a nice time. I thought we went and had a. I don't know what's coming. I'm a little bit nervous, to be honest. I thought we had a fine time.
Well, okay. Two things.
I have no idea what's coming. I'm bracing myself.
Okay. Well, you took me to a very busy mall, an outdoor mall, which would have been fun to enjoy for two friends. Except I couldn't walk around, so we just sat awkwardly for half an hour.
Where?
Outside the theater. And you attempted to make conversation, and I slurred my words so badly, I was like, blah, blah, blah. I wasn't really able to hold a conversation. Then, before the movie started, I learned my lesson from Inglourious Basterds, my number four pick. I went to the bathroom beforehand, because I got to get it all out before.
Right.
So I went to the bathroom, you were there, because I was unable to button up my pants.
Oh, that's right.
My left hand was so useless at that point. My whole left side, by the way, is affected by the radiation and the chemo.
That little drop step going?
A little. So I could not use my hand to button up my pants.
Oh, man.
And Anderson was in the stall next to me, saw that I was having trouble. And Mike, out of the goodness of his heart, came over and buttoned my pants.
I totally forgot all about that.
It was a touching moment.
I forgot all about that.
If that was
literally
in a movie,
a
that would
moment.
Make top five touching
it was literally
moments.
You know what would have happened if that was in a movie? I'd probably run up the fucking aisle crying like a woman. Yeah. Gate porn sounds coming. He buttoned him.
But that's just half of it, Anderson. Then there was the film.
The unfunded part is the worst part.
Then there was the film itself. So District 9, I cannot judge this accurately because I've seen it once and I was heavily radiated. However, there were too many bizarre parallels to what was going on in my life at the moment.
It's like when you're heartbroken, every single song is about your
situation. The movie about the guy who was left arm turned into an alien arm and he couldn't use it. That hit a little close to home.
Okay. All right.
And he became sick and was ostracized from his society. That hit a little close to
home.
That
was mostly being affected by his poor acting. That was upsetting me.
The fact that he was getting progressively worse, and there was maybe a cure, but it'll be about 3 years. You have to be like this for 3 years.
Really, they're gonna have a cure for chemo for leukemia in 3 years?
Exactly. I was so many disturbing parallels, Anderson, to what I was going through. I could not enjoy the film, and honestly, if we were to do top five disturbing films now, I would be on my list for sure.
Really?
Yeah, but personally disturbing.
You didn't share any of this with me on the ride home.
I couldn't articulate myself. I was out of my mind.
You know what? I don't remember it being awkward 30 minutes before the movie. I remember talking to you and understanding what you were saying, and maybe you were awkward, but I didn't think of it as
awkward from my perspective because I felt – not maybe you were better suited to it because of your background, but in life, in the general world, I was having a very hard time communicating to anyone what was going on.
Right. But okay.
But it's very understandable to think that during that period, Brian would think that all of his problems were unique to him, you know, like that they're.
Yeah, I didn't know anyone else who went through this.
Right. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
But I just, okay.
That was
I appreciate you.
Nothing to do with you. By the way,
the
hanging out with you was the best part of the day. It was the movie and the experience itself. I
forgot all about the buttoning of the pants. Let's just be clear. Didn't see any wiener.
My underwear up. That was fine.
It wasn't like I was like tucking you in.
No, I got my underwear up okay. I just couldn't get the button fastened.
All right.
Catherine.
Have we taken another break?
No, we're one.
Done, right?
Number one.
I'm on number two. So
yeah, we're on. And he's number one. Oh, you're number two.
Anderson hasn't done number two.
I skipped Anderson. Number two.
Is it because of chemo?
Yes, right.
Real quick, I'll just do number two then.
Go.
Please do.
Is that what's happening here?
I like that.
I feel like it's been a long time since I've heard. All right. Fight Club.
Really?
October 15th, 1999. Came out that day. I was in at my favorite theater of all time. It's the Fox the theater in Westwood.
Mm-hmm.
The big one.
Is it still there?
The Village. Yeah, it's still there.
They have movie premieres there now. So.
It's great. It's where the nerds line up for Star Trek or Star Wars. I can't decide which one it is.
And Twilight.
Is it Star Trek or Star Wars?
Both. I don't know.
All the same movie to me. Remember that guy? Like he lined up 3 months beforehand?
Yep.
Anyways, this is not part of my story, but I was always thinking about how he'd be like, he'd be interviewed by news agencies and like the LA Times would come down and do piece. Worldwide, people knew this guy was waiting in line for Star Wars for 3 months. I thought it would be, and he knew which seat he was going to sit in and he has a favorite. I thought it'd be hilarious if I went in the back door and was just sitting in the seat when the fucking movie started. Anyways, totally off track. Sorry. Fight Club. I'm sitting there in a very good seat. Could not wait for that movie. Seven was one of my favorites. I just started really getting into David Fincher. I knew Fight Club was going to be awesome. I was reading about it leading up to. I used to be so naive that I would think like movies were going to change my life. And I would like, you know, think once I see Fight Club, I'm going to see things differently. And it's going to be like a new friend of mine almost, you know? I still kind of think that actually about movies. I get pretty pumped. But was loving what I was seeing. Was enjoying it thoroughly. Right at the scene, and I know a few of you have still not seen it, but right at a very pivotal point in the movie where it's explaining something that you weren't quite sure what was going on throughout the movie. Very, very important scene in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Phone rings behind me.
Oh.
It was 1999, so not everyone had a cell phone. They were still somewhat newfangled, and you still had those fucking douchebags that would like wanted everyone to know they had a phone.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you just have to have like the latest iPhone to feel special. Back then, you just having a cell phone made you feel special.
You were kind of a baller, yeah.
He opens it and says, oh, no. Yeah, seeing Fight Club, Maha. Yeah, there's this park going, and he starts explaining what had happened in the movie up to that point. And I turn around, and I look at him. He was half Asian. I mean, he was half Logan. And I look at him, and I say, dude.
He was full Logan.
He was half Logan. I said, are you serious right now? And he goes, yeah, some dude's pissed that I'm on the phone. I guess I'll talk to you later. Once again, it's almost sold out. I'm the only one who – I kept thinking, please, somebody say something. Please, somebody say something. Please. And it was me. It was left to me, and I fucking say something to him. The rest of the movie is ruined for me. The movie's a little bit ruined for me forever. Like every time I see it, the first thing I think of is this fucking guy. And then I'm going, there's a lot of alleys and stuff in Westwood. If you're familiar with the area, a lot of alleys. You got to always park a car. Like you got to walk through an alley essentially always to get your car.
Because it's all like, you know, it's all P.F. Chang's and Best Buy's and stuff. So there's a lot of places for deliveries.
A lot of Asian theme going on in this
well, it's Westwood. But it's UCLA, for God's sake.
I'm walking through one of those alleys and get the brights. And it is a souped-up Honda car of sorts.
Wow.
And it is him, and he is yelling at me, saying, hey, fucker, Can I be on my phone now, motherfucker? Like, starting shit. I'm like,
you're like, yes, now you can, by all means.
I'm not getting in a fight because a guy talked on his phone, but I almost did. And the main reason why this is number two for me is this would be probably one of my all-time favorite movies, but it really has been sullied. By fuckhead phone fuck.
Fuckhead phone fuck.
Fuckhead phone phone fuck.
I'd go see that movie if that was the title of a movie. Faux. I don't care what who's in it or
sounds
what
sounds like
it was
an
about.
Asian action star.
Fuckhead phone fuck.
Fuckhead phone fuck foe. Because PHO, it's a, I think it was Vietnamese, actually, if I had to guess.
Number one for you, Mike.
I don't know why race had to come into it. Maybe because Brian's racist.
Let me keep that theme alive. Number one worst movie-going experience for me revolves almost exclusively around race.
Oh, that's we love race here on the show.
I went to see an animated film called Bebe's Kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Bebe.
I was about seventh grade. I was probably about 12, 13 years old. And when you're – summertime, when you're not old enough to drive – a lot of times it is, let's just see every movie that's in the theater.
Yep.
And I lived, luckily, biking distance from pretty much every theater in the San Gabriel Valley that was at least most that were in my neighborhood.
You could cover most movies within a biking distance.
And I had already seen whatever crappy movie was out. And my friend Marco and I were like, let's go see Bebe's Kids. We've never even heard of this comic that had made it.
Burger.
And in North Pasadena, which is almost an exclusively African-American community, we go to see this movie,
pass.
Bebe's Kids.
Yeah.
And we were the only white people there, and we are 12.
You were hip and progressive.
We were 12, right. We were, and we were fine with it once the movie was, like, beginning. But then once the movie got underway, and then we realized that
you didn't speak the language.
All these black people were going to further substantiate the stereotype that black people talk during movies. They were fine having all the conversation. And we were laughing because we're like, what do we care? This movie's probably not great anyway.
Sure.
And these people are literally having full-on conversation throughout the
entire. What do you mean,
entire,
these people?
All the other people in the theater,
okay.
Which are all black people, and they're
I'd like to point out that Michael is half Mexican, so he's allowed to get away with these things.
Yes, and everyone in the theater besides Marco and I is black, without to a T. And the girl behind us is probably about 17 or 18.
Yeah.
And again, we're little boys. I mean, right. I have no way of like
1992.
Okay, so I'm 13 years old.
Okay,
and. This girl behind me who's big, and I mean big, not just fat. She's right. Got my height now. I mean, she's 5'10 and a big girl.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you keep leaning this your motherfucking seat back, I'm going to smack you in your motherfucking head. And I'm
wow.
like, and I go, what do you mean? She's like, you keep rocking back and forth in your chair. I was like, no, I mean, I'm just going back as far as it allows me to. I'm not
reclining.
I didn't mean to. And I'm saying these, I was like, I didn't mean to hurt. I'm just going back how much I'm given. You want me to not go back as far as I can?
There's different codes of etiquette in different theaters.
For your legs. And she goes, I'm just saying, if you lean back in that fucking seat one more time, I'm going to smack your head.
And she's probably like a 15-year-old girl, right?
I mean, if she's in high school.
Right,
yeah,
she's scary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like when I was in 8th grade, the scariest person in 7th and 8th grade, junior high, was a girl in 7th grade.
Yeah.
She was scary.
And by the way, and I'm not just saying this
Carmelita.
To like, cover some ass. It had nothing to do with her being black. It had to do with the fact that she was 17.
Right.
And when you're 13, a big girl who's mean is scary. So I get let about 5 minutes pass. And then sure enough, I just naturally.
You don't even think about it. Inertia.
My seat, and she.
Gravity.
Kept good to her word and punches me in the fucking head.
Yeah.
Stands up.
Donkey
and,
punch.
And smacks me hard in the back of the head. And my friend, Marco, goes, hey, like, what are you doing? She's like, you want to get socked too? And then, like, everyone around her stands up. Like, and now I'm being completely emasculated because I'm not going to defend myself against a woman.
Right. Plus, you're in a cartoon. You're watching a cartoon.
Right. But now I'm like, I'm thinking about, I'm starting to get the skin tingly feeling like, oh my god, I'm gonna get jumped.
This shit's going
but
down.
I realize I'm about to fight a girl.
Right. There's
like,
no winning.
It was such a horrible,
it's a lose-lose,
scary, terrible experience. And so I can't just run away either. So I just allowed this girl to punch me in the head and sat right back down and sat on the very front of my seat and finished that movie and kept my mouth shut.
You can't punch him. There's really no winning. I heard a comic say – I don't agree with this, but I heard a comic say that the only appropriate thing to do in that situation is rape. I heard that. I don't agree
Bill
with
Burr,
it.
Bill Burr, Jim Jeffries? That sounds very Jeffries.
I'm just going to say a comedian, an unnamed comedian.
I'm seeing Jim Jeffries tomorrow night.
What's that?
I'm seeing Jim Jeffries tomorrow night.
Where?
He's a guest on our live show in Irvine.
That is irrelevant to everything going on here. Tell you that right now.
I will just say that I don't agree in any way or even want to make fun of the idea of domestic abuse or violence towards women. Yeah. But if that happened at 2012,
never an excuse.
I would knock that bitch out. Mm. I would without even blinking an eye.
And then you could say as she's laying on the ground, "Hey, I respected you enough to hit you because I think that you're an equal."
That's right.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe it. My mind was blown, and she hit me in 45 minutes of that movie, and I sat there like a bitch listening to all her friends clown me.
Yeah.
On the front of my seat, making sure not to lean back even the slightest.
When you left, like the lights come up, do you see her or you go out the different exit?
We went out the front, put my head down. Marco and I just walked out, and he was like he didn't even make fun
of me. Was he a dick? Did he tell anyone at school or anything like that?
No, we told everybody else, but we weren't ashamed. I was like, what was I supposed to do? And even in seventh grade, people could feel me. They're like,
what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Not go back to the theater.
But I did. I mean, I got punked like a bitch.
You know who directed that, Bebe's Kids? He was a linebacker linebacker for the Buffalo Bills, Bruce Smith.
No.
Yeah, Bruce Smith. I guess it could be a different Bruce Smith. I don't know.
Big black guy.
I mean, I guess it is. R.I.P. Junior Seau, by the way.
Oh, yeah. He died today. He killed himself. Ugh. Junior Seau.
Very sad.
Right in the chest.
I have a Junior Seau jersey.
One love.
Number one for me.
Mm-hmm.
The year?
2009.
No, it was 2003. Nothing to do with cancer.
What?
Nothing to do with cancer. Why would you assume that?
Mixing it up. Wow.
2003. Now, imagine me at 24 years old. I'm not yet bald, Brian. I'm balding, Brian.
Balding, Brian.
Mm-hmm. I'm balding. That's 24.
It's quite the same ring.
So right around the time you met me, Anderson, I'm 50 pounds overweight.
Hatred was flowing.
I'm working part-time. My coworkers hate me. I'm working part-time as a coworker. My mom was a few of them dead.
Really? I wasn't alone?
No, you hated me. Others disdained me.
Oh. Yeah. What's worse?
Honestly, well, I'm friends with you now.
I didn't tolerate.
They're all nowhere. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm working part-time as a call screener at K-Rock. I'm driving a 12-year-old pickup truck, Anderson. I'm living across the street from a 99-cent store.
Oh, this is recent.
This is
in that building that long?
Yeah.
Jesus, that was a horrible building. How'd you do that? That was awful.
The rent was cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better be.
Anyhow, it's 2003, and I'm dating my girlfriend from college. It's year five and a half of our relationship.
Is this the one with a long vagina?
Wow.
No, she was very tiny. She was like 99 pounds.
He did.
She was like 101 pounds.
A bitch ain't one.
With a long vagina for a while.
She's like 101 pounds. That's not an exaggeration.
All right. She was small.
She's very small.
Was she Asian?
Not at all.
Hmm.
She was half Jewish.
Wow.
That's right.
I don't know what that means.
Or she full Jewish.
I don't care.
Doesn't half Logan.
Only the good half.
And so we've rented the sleeper hit of the year from before, 2 years before, my Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh,
never seen
bad.
It. Had not seen it.
Windex.
And so we're watching it. We're laughing. Good old times. Windex is funny. And during a particularly poignant wedding rehearsal scene where the John Corbett and Nia Vardalos, whatever her name
Vardalos,
is,
yeah.
having a nice, heart to heart moment, I look over and my girlfriend starts crying.
Uh-oh.
I notice she's crying. And I'm like, what's up? You okay? She goes, I just don't ever think that's going to be us.
Oh!
And that was it.
Oh!
That was the breakup. That was the breakup.
That is terrible. Were you guys broken up before
that? That was it.
Before
that was
the credits
moment.
Rolled?
Yes. We didn't finish the movie. I've never finished the movie. I've never seen
she
the
went
end.
Out one exit. You went out the other?
I've never seen. No, we were in the theater. We were at home.
Oh, that's right.
I can see Brian sprinting away like a Buster Keaton movie. Like she says it, he just runs out of it.
You take the movie, man!
be kind, everyone!
Maybe she just would like really like the culture and she meant she'll never be Greek.
That's something I explored that option.
Uh-huh.
Not what she meant.
No.
No. She thought our relationship was going nowhere.
How long were you dating?
And she was 5.5 years. From my sophomore year in college.
Okay, so I mistook this. I thought you were saying that scared you because she realized she wanted to get married. No, what she was telling you was, no interest.
It's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
That's how she broke up with you.
That's it.
Every time you'd see a billboard or anything about that movie or anything about Greek anything, like five beta
every time you hear Petros.
Yeah. Alpha, beta, fucking cereal.
Yep. I can't go into Daphne's now.
Alpha, beta, cereal.
I don't even know that doesn't even exist.
Oh, my God.
Alphabet cereal.
It was so – honestly, the relationship was running
Omega
on fumes
Man fucks
now
you
looking
up.
Back.
Yeah.
But and honestly, it's the best thing that ever happened to me, blah, 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 blah. But
what an odd choice to choose that movie. I wonder if she was like, hopefully a commercial comes up about marriage. Hopefully anything
I can get out of this pointless relationship. Oh my gosh, you broke my heart.
All right, here we go. We're gonna this is a long fucking episode.
Number one to bed here.
I knew it would because we all have great stories.
Number
Mike,
one.
I appreciate you coming in.
My pleasure, guys.
Yeah, buddy, it's fantastic. It's really, really good. Mine.
This is a story that I told long ago. I don't think it's out there other than Giovanni, super Corolla fan. He's probably one of the only people who actually has the episode that we did where it was a similar. The exact same topics were covered, but Brian was a part of it.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
We did top five worst movie-going experiences, but it was with Carano. This was not on my number – this is not my number one last time, but just in the last couple years and looking at the list today, I realized this is the most fucked up thing that I've ever dealt with in a theater for sure. So it's my number one. Spice World is the movie. It is the Spice Girls movie. Came out, I think, like 1997.
Not a good movie.
Not a good movie. That wasn't the point. I wasn't seeing it for its goodness. This is when I was working with mentally challenged adults. And I used to work with individuals often.
Still work with Drew.
True. Tourette's Drew.
Yeah.
Implied behavior analysis was this Institute for Applied Behavioral Analysis. I shouldn't even be giving out that much information.
Okay.
But
I would go and
mentor these guys, help them with independent living skills, and then kill time. A lot of it was babysitting, glorified babysitting, and I would take them to see movies often. And this is when I was practically living in this movie theater in Simi Valley because I was dating the manager of the theater, and she was a tall, very attractive lady. Guys tended to like her back then, especially. And my mentally challenged client, who I brought with my to see the movie, looking back on it, I was fucking ridiculously insane to think that this would be okay. But I took him to see the movie with my girlfriend
mentally
who was managing the theater. Mentally challenged, severe autistic.
Okay.
He used to take fish, pets of his, and he would put them in his hand and he would crush them.
I thought you meant Trey Anastasio.
No. Actual goldfish and crush them.
Wow.
And he would take full – I remember I heard this story. It was before my time. But he took buckets and he was upset with the place that he was living at. Took buckets, filled them with water, and he took all the phones in the entire apartment complex and dunked them in the water and just soaked them in the buckets of water. Like he would just – he had those kind of mental problems.
Sure.
So like he would say something like this and I'd say, excuse me? And he'd say it again. I couldn't hear him. I'd say, I'm sorry. What'd you say? And he'd say it again. I'm like, I'm sorry. I still can't. And he would scream at the top of his lungs. A lot of screaming, a lot of flying off the handle. So we're sitting there watching Spice World. I'm sitting here. I'm trying my best not to say the guy's name because I'm going to fuck up and say his name. But I'm sitting here and he's sitting on one side of me and my girlfriend's sitting on the other side. She manages the theater. I don't know why she's sitting and watching Spice Girls with us. I guess she just wanted to hang out.
Right.
I feel his arm. He'd already made it kind of known that he liked her, but he was like a baby Huey. Imagine baby Huey.
Yeah, yeah.
Some drooling was involved.
Oh.
He was probably about my age, but –
he's an overgrown boy.
Yes. I felt his arm creeping around behind my back going towards her. And I pushed it back and I said, what are you doing? Did it again about 5 minutes later. The movie's not doing it for him apparently. The fucking Spice Girls on their double-decker bus,
yeah.
it's just not working
holding
for him.
His interest.
He's more interested in my girlfriend. And his arm comes around again. I can feel him reaching at her and I push it back. Third time he actually makes contact and she reacts to it. She goes, hey, what's up? She was cool chick, but she didn't freak out. But
sure.
I'm like, hey, man, you can't do that. That was too much. The fact that she said no and I said no, that's when he stood up in the middle of the theater. The theater was somewhat crowded. And he yelled, I hate this movie and I hate you.
Oh my
And he
God.
Fucking stormed out. And
oh no.
First of all, now everyone's noticing that I'm sitting in a movie, Spice World, which is a whole entire fucking thing unto itself. It's just me sitting in Spice World. And I had to follow him out into a crowded lobby where he was screaming. And it was just fucking awful. Just uncomfortable. And I'm stupid for putting myself in that situation.
Yeah, it's your fault.
Incredibly sexually frustrated and mentally impaired man. Should not be seen getting all sexed up watching the Spice Girls and sitting by a woman that is my girlfriend.
Do you think – now, you're not in an official capacity saying this, but do you think that like people like that should be – who are incredibly sexually frustrated should be allowed to visit like prostitutes or something?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I had another client and I talked about it at length on the After Disaster. I used to spend the night at his house and I would wake up with full erection in my face because he would come in screaming, you know, at the top of his lungs, I want a girlfriend! I want a girlfriend! I want a girlfriend! Just
yeah.
like that on
I
a loop.
I want to be that guy's friend.
On a loop.
He sounds awesome.
He looked just like his name should be Eugene. Like Eugene, I think was the name of the guy.
Drop.
In The Warriors or like, you know, very 70s, big fro, skinny, like Jewish guy.
Yeah, I need to know him.
I want a girlfriend is all he would say. In the middle of the night with a huge erection right in my face because he would come to wake me up and I'd be sleeping
Mike,
and when he's standing.
Not the first time nor the last Anderson's woken up with a huge erection in his face.
Right.
No, it's well, the same thing. But I talked his parents into actually taking him to see a lady of the night.
Good.
But different guy, different story. But anyway, Spice World, probably the most fucked up, worst movie going experience just because it was Spice World to begin with.
But with that little outburst, didn't make the
great, great session, everybody.
Good job.
Didn't learn a lot about movies, guys, but that was fun for us at least.
This whole time I've been biting my tongue. I really want to hear the listener top five because we had Logan ask for.
Is there one?
Logan, explain how it works.
I put out a call for listeners to email or send us a message on Facebook with their worst movie-going experiences.
I hate this.
And this
movie.
Is as judged by Logan.
And I hate you.
So number five comes to us from through email from Joshua. It says, my worst movie-going experience is an interesting one. I was taking a girl on a date to see Toy Story 3. We had tried to see it the previous week at a drive-in theater, but a freak storm came out of nowhere and a lightning strike knocked out the screen.
Freaks.
This time, we went to a more traditional theater to prevent the same thing from happening. While waiting in line at the concession stand, there was a mini explosion and the entire concession area burst into flames. The theater was located inside of a giant mall and the entire mall had to be evacuated as we were doused by the sprinkler system. To this date, I still have not seen Toy Story 3.
Oh.
Is he afraid to watch it the third time? Like, end of the world occurs?
That's right. He's going to watch it
December 12th. December 21st, isn't it?
The 21st, whatever it is. It's 21st.
I was going to get married on that day. That's how I know it.
Nice.
I wanted to. Or the day before.
Number four comes to us from part of the 8%, Sarah, who wrote us an email saying,
what is it?
Hi, gents. First, a little context. My parents are so cheap, they bring Ziploc bags to Red Lobster to steal Cheddar Bay biscuits. These same cheap parents were treated by me to a showing of the latest Indiana Jones movie. My dad had been looking forward to it for quite some time, as had we all, fans of the franchise. But as soon as the fridge was nuked, he yelled, lame, at the top of his voice and interrupted the experience for all the other moviegoers with frequent expletive-laden commentary.
Oh, fuck
he
them.
Accosted me in the parking lot for having taken him to such garbage and said he was glad he didn't pay for it because he would have asked for his money back.
This is her dad?
Yes.
I like this guy.
He is still angry and has not seen a single movie in theater since.
I don't blame him. Yeah, fuck that. Because that was a good representation of all cinema experiences.
All films in theaters.
the plastic skull.
Did I ever tell you guys about the time I saw that movie?
Oh, look
at Logan. There's a movie-going experience right there. About 5 minutes into the movie, we don't know it's a horrible movie yet.
No, don't know.
There hasn't been a fridge nuking yet.
No. You know pretty quick.
All of a sudden I hear, and I go, what's that? I hear it again. I look down at the bottom. There's a guy being wrestled to the ground by security.
He was getting tased?
He was getting tased.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was tased a total of three times, but apparently he had his feet up on the chair in front of him, and the chair broke because it was a shitty theater. And they asked him to leave, and he snuck back in. And so when security found out he snuck back in, they tased him. Needless to say, it was hard to concentrate on the movie after that.
Yeah, I would think so. You missed nothing. It's a terrible movie.
Yeah. Terrible. Number three comes to us from Abby.
How dumb do you feel? You wake up in prison, you realize you've been tased, taken to jail because you snuck into the crystal fucking skull.
Right. You didn't get into like a mean bar fight. You just
or a good movie at least. What a terrible cause.
That's like Ellis's story about stealing the bike. I hope he was in that jail with like real gangbangers.
Exactly.
Go, what'd you do, fool?
Yeah.
Oh, you feet up on the chair.
Yeah.
Theater. You know.
You gotta lie sometimes.
Yeah.
You gotta lie. Because I was in jail for failures to appear, which is the biggest pussy reason to be in jail.
And
I said inciting a riot. Yeah, I had a whole fucking story. You have to make some shit up. Yeah.
Number three comes to us from another female.
Hey, part of the 8% growing.
And she emailed us with her iPod, apparently. My husband and I went to see Mystic River. The theater was practically empty.
Yeah, my daughter in there!
Yeah. Wow. Sorry.
The theater was practically empty. Two guys come in and sit directly in front of us. About 20 minutes in, one of the guy's head disappears into the lap of the other guy who starts sounding like he's really enjoying the movie.
Oh, no.
I would enjoy that, actually.
Needless to say, it tainted that movie for me. On a side note, that isn't exactly a feel-good movie that gets the average person in the mood.
Yeah, weird.
I don't like that.
He likes watching guys lose their daughters. That's like what gets him off.
Jeez. Yeah.
Maybe there's big Sean Penn overacting fans. Yeah. Look at him overact. Look at him scream.
Number two. Number two comes from Brian on Facebook.
Not this one. Brian with an I, right?
Brian with an I.
Because Brian's had enough fucking time on this
yeah,
podcast.
Seriously, yeah, seriously. Less talking from
enough
me.
Enough cancer talk. Okay.
Passion of the Christ.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 2009.
There were two women behind us who quoted the Bible during the entire movie.
Oh, Jesus.
Uttered anti-Semitic slurs and prayed during the movie, but then one woman answered her phone to talk to her teenage son, who apparently got into some trouble during the crucifixion. I turned around to tell her this is sort of the climax. But the other woman told me to sit down before she makes me sit the fuck down.
Wow.
I sat down.
I sat down. This is like if Walmart had theaters, I would picture things like this happening in a Walmart theater. You know what I mean? What kind of anti-Semitic things was she slurring, I wonder? Goddamn Jews. Killing my Jesus. You know what Jesus' name
drop.
Should Jesus should be Jack. If Jesus' name was Jack, I think the church would be cooler. They should change his name to Jack.
And the number one worst movie-going experience from our listeners...
Jack on a cross. Go ahead.
Comes from Rob on Facebook. He says, right. I watched American History X with my black best friend when we were 15.
Mm.
The end.
Hey, come on. He got reformed.
That's good stuff. Thank you, Mike. You're an excellent guest. Number three, by the way, for
it's
you.
It's always my pleasure. I hope there's a number four, gentlemen.
Would you like to gamble?
Oh, that's right.
A couple also-rans real quick. Transformers 2, I already talked about that. Lost in Translation, just my utter confusion as to why people were enjoying it around me. Same goes for Juno. Confused, and I felt alienated because everyone was enjoying it except for me. And my number one last time on the list was my full experience of Irreversible, but I've told that story too many times on this show, so it didn't even make the list today. But Irreversible still is number one most horrific, awesome movie-going experience of all time.
Let's gamble. People like this segment.
All right, let's recap last week and find out who the winner is.
Brian sucks. He can't pick movies for me to see when I lose.
I know.
Last week, you two were betting on The Raven. The Brian betted 35%, Anderson 63%.
Did you say Brian betted?
He did.
He bet.
He betted. He betted a fine-looking lady, though, once.
And the Rotten Tomatoes score at the time was 25%.
Mm-hmm. And I was way off, and now it's 21 or something.
Now it is only dropped 4% and it is 21%.
Yep.
Means Brian has to give Anderson a second movie to watch.
Yeah. Well, I skipped the week to give Anderson the week off because I didn't have any movies you hadn't seen at that point.
I didn't have any movies I hadn't seen.
I didn't have any movies with me that you hadn't seen.
How is that possible? You don't have to give me the movie.
You know what, though? I had Giovanni, the aforementioned, the super archivist of all things podcast related. And,
That are good.
Had him go back and look back at your list of top five movies you're ashamed to admit you haven't seen.
Oh, good. I like this. So hopefully, excuse to have to watch.
Yeah, hopefully you have not seen yet. This is Spinal Tap? Yeah, you gotta see Spinal Tap.
Dude, you haven't seen that?
Spinal Tap rules!
It's as good as...
I've seen enough of it to know what it is. You've got to
see it. It's as good as
Spinal Tap. Fuck Rob Reiner's sweaty, fat fucking head. I do not want to see this movie.
I agree with that.
Fuck him.
It's good.
He's so angry.
Especially if you like late 70s,
isn't
early
80s. Isn't he in it a lot, though?
Rock. No, not that much.
No, hardly at all.
He's in the movie a total of probably 8 minutes.
Isn't he wearing like a captain's ship? Like,
well, he plays a reporter and he's interviewing this band. You know, and so the...
He has a very minor part.
It's funny.
Because there's some good movies on that list that I still have not seen that I've been waiting for an excuse to see, such as like Gandhi. I was hoping you'd say like Gandhi, and I'd spend 9 hours of my life watching fucking Gandhi.
But Spinal Tap's better than Gandhi.
Yeah, Spinal Tap's better.
What?
It is.
You like it. It's blasphemy.
It is.
Yeah.
All right, Logan, what comes out this week?
Bitch.
This is the Avengers, isn't
it? Wait, so wait, I got to make it up? I got to see.
What? This is Spinal Tap.
He let you skip a week. He gave you forgiveness.
Yeah. That's right.
Thanks, buddy.
Pile on.
Real quick, I'm gonna flick fest it next week. Why waste a week of your life not seeing this movie? Special When Lit. It's a documentary about pinballs. It's pinball machines. It's fucking awesome. I'm going to flick fest it next week. I forgot to this week somehow, but God, what a great movie. I love that. So way yay.
Okay.
Love that Special When Lit.
So what's up, Logan?
This Friday is the release of the first major blockbuster of the summer. It is Marvel Comics, The Avengers.
Mm.
Okay, so Anderson, so here's the deal.
You got a pen there, Mike?
It's the big movie of the summer. People have tweeted me over the course of the last couple of weeks, the score, the early score on Netflix.
Well, why the fuck are we doing this then?
Well, I'm going to say, do you want me to tell you what they told me and we can still gamble?
Why would people tweet you what the score is?
I don't know.
Hey, Brian, tweet, tweet, tweet. It's an 84. Tweet or tweet, tweet.
Do you want to know
why would they do that?
So we both have the same information?
Yeah, tell.
Okay. It was at that time, 2 weeks ago, between 94% and 96%.
Settle down, fucking nerds. Everyone calm down.
I've not heard anything since then. I've not heard anything in a week, so I don't know if it's gone up or down or... what it is. We could be very, very close on our numbers. Write one down.
All right. I wrote it down. All right. It's always the highlight of the show when there's pauses and we're just writing numbers down. It's the highlight. Who's that letter to?
My
landlord.
Oh, your landlord.
Anderson, what's your number? Oh, you want to guess, Mike? What do you think is going to come out of Rotten Tomatoes?
81.
Okay. What do you think?
1984.
I put 90. 90%.
Mm-hmm.
90%.
I wish I put 89. I wish I did.
Logan, what is it?
Currently, the Wednesday before release, The Avengers has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 94%. But it could go either way.
A lot of things could happen.
A lot of things could happen. All the nerds have already seen it. All the critics that are really into it have already gone to see it. The people that like don't really care to see Thor wave a hammer around, they're going to see it this week and they're going to give it its due. Which so is like 70
if it ends up at 87%,
I bet you it's a 7 out of 10.
If it ends up at 87%, what's a tie?
Am I gonna enjoy this movie being that I haven't seen any of the actual superhero movies of the people that are in it? I never saw Thor, I never saw Iron Man, I never saw Thor, sucked balls, by the way.
You never saw Iron Man?
Captain America.
Captain America was okay. Iron Man was good.
Never saw him.
You never saw Iron Man.
The Hulk movies were uneven.
What about Calculator Man? You ever see that one?
No.
No? Fountain Pen Man? No. Mm-hmm. It's a good one. Ooh. Good one. He just slides around, leaving
ink
everywhere.
Is this Lady Pistol?
Lady Pistol. Lady Pista. The hell's her name?
Is this Lady Pista.
Lady Pista would love to fist you.
Yeah. Popping bottles of Pistol.
Check her out on AndersonandBrian.com.
Kathy, love having you in here.
Yeah,
man.
Buddy. Thanks for coming on. You're a great guest.
You're welcome, buddy. Thank you, guys.
Check him out at Mike Catherwood.
He's my favorite co-host ever on Loveline that's not named Drew.
Yeah. At Mike Catherwood.
Way more than Drew. Yeah.
Thank you.
DomesticJourney.com, right?
Yes, sir.
DomesticJourney.com. Check that out. And yeah, good stuff. AndersonandBrian.com, all of our Amazon links, blah, blah, blah. Feature artists, information, list of films discussed. Blah, blah. Boy, this is a long episode.
Miss Movies, Mike Carano, Tyler White. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, guess what? We're doing a